Good morning and welcome to the July 5th meeting of the Design Review Board. We have a fairly full schedule today. I'd like to get started. We also have a new board member. Michael, would you like to begin?
Thank you, Sarah. So just to let everybody know, we do have five members present today, including yourself, Sarah Geller-Nelson, Orlando Comas, Scott Diffenderfer, Sam Sheldon, and our newest board member, Myra Diaz-Buttacavoli. Myra, did you want to say something before we begin, or? Great, thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Steve Rothstein, who can let members of the public know how they may participate in today's proceedings.
Sure, thank you, Michael. Good morning, Madam Chair and board members and the public. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the board physically present in commission chambers at Miami Beach City Hall, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via Zoom may dial 1-888-475-4499, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must raise the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial *9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that are testifying today, I'd like to read into the record the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you are speaking only on your behalf and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. At this time, I would like to swear in those members of the public and all those who are testifying today. If you could please stand and raise your right hand. And for those online, you'll be sworn in individually when you are addressing the board. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you, and please be seated.
So let's...
We can start with the after action from the June 6th meeting. And just want to note, I forgot to add Ferocia to the staff member, so I'll add her. If any other member has any other comments on the after action, would like to make a motion to approve the after action.
I so move.
Second. Second on Mr. Diffenderfer, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That passes 5-0. With that, we can start with our first application on the agenda. Giselle, if you can read that into the record.
The first item in the agenda is ZRB 23-0915, 4447 North Bay Road. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a two-story residence, including one or more waivers and a variance from the minimum required front setback requirements to replace an existing single-story home.
Now, this application came before the board last month, but because we didn't have a quorum for variances, it had to be continued on today's date. They're asking for one variance for the front setback requirements for the two-story portion of the structure. The code requires when you have a structure with a setback of 20 feet that the two-story portion has to be setback 40 feet. In this case, they have a portion of the building which is setback 20 feet, and the two-story portion of the building is setback 30 feet. As noted in our report, due to the non-traditional substandard lot depth for this property has a lot depth of only 100 feet, the typical lot depth for an RS4 lot, which is the zoning for this property, typically has a lot depth range of 105 to 115 feet. So due to the shallow lot depth, it does create practical difficulty in limiting the available area for construction on the site. So for that reason, we are supportive of that variance. They're also asking for a waiver, which is a waiver that says 35% of the second floor on the front elevation shall be set back an additional 5 feet from the minimum setback. We are also supportive of that related design waiver. We are overall very supportive of the design and are recommending approval in accordance with the draft conditions outlined starting on page 18 of the board packages. Now I'll turn it over to Tom for the presentation.
And before we begin with the presentation, I'll just ask the board members, have there been any ex-party communications that need to be disclosed at this time? Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Tom Weber from the Weber Studio, 104 Crandon Boulevard, Suite 414 out on Key Biscayne, 33149. Thank you for seeing us here today. I am here representing or on behalf of Andrew and Maxine, or Maxi Krupa. And I believe they're here online. They just happened to be on vacation. We were here to present last time, but we are going for one variance on the project, and we didn't have a quorum, so we're back in here today. And I'm going to be brief here today. I believe you guys have seen our project. How I would really like to handle this is I'm just going to briefly go through what we're looking for. Like Michael says and like the report says, it's a unique between 44th Street and 45th Street. The lots start to curve, they become irregular, and they're not as deep as the other ones. So the design intent here was right from the beginning, not to be greedy in any way or ask for any sort of additional items, but in order to even achieve any sort of backyard, the choice of setbacks in the beginning of a new residence is you go to 20 feet, and then the second floor, as you probably are all aware, and then on the second floor, you would go to 40 feet. That 40-foot second floor really pushes everything back in this particular short lot, and I thought if we could just comply with the second floor up to 30 feet, that I don't think it's being... Again, I don't come to this board with something that I don't truly feel is the right thing to do on a particular type of lot. And so that's what we're looking for. That's what the variance is. So we're requesting just on the second floor a 30-foot setback. I'm going to grab this microphone real quick. Hello? Is it on? Hello.
Is there a presentation that you want to for them to show?
Oh, I'm just old school. I brought the boards. We did submit a package, but I'm just from there.
Okay.
So I guess not necessarily right at the moment. I'm happy to answer all sorts of questions. Again, we're here simply. I want to make sure that everyone can kind of see what I have going on here. And everyone's kind of over towards this side. This is the most important sheet. There's our overall lot size. It's 6,750 square feet, which is typically smaller than the interior lots as anyway. Above 45th Street, they start back into the 7,7500 square foot. Of course, any sort of double lots and stuff are larger. This particular lot and coming down, these lots even get to 6,000 square feet in this particular little windy block. So our first floor, and lot coverage is always the challenge in this particular case, but I'll get to that in just a quick minute. When I flip, this is the first floor plan, right? But when I flip to the second floor plan, this is the general idea. Okay. So on the second floor, this is your 20-foot setback. Excuse me. Your 20-foot setback is up here. The 40-foot setback puts us all the way back here. And what we've done is we've just taken two portions of the building and come up and met that 30-foot setback. And that's the variance we're requesting here today. It's very simple. Just pulling the building forward in an effort to really get at least a pocket of openness, which I think is in compliance with the code as well, too. Just as soon as we start to push everything back on the second floor, everything starts to shove back. And it's really minimal rear yard that Andrew and his family have three kids. They're, you know, this isn't a developer project. This is their home, their dream home. And I'll let them see here in just a minute. The waiver is just a a byproduct of the variance that we're requesting. So it's not really requesting two things. What it says is if your lot coverage is over 25%, which we are, that 35% of the front elevation needs to be set back an additional 5 feet. We actually comply with that, but we're pushed forward. So technically, we don't comply with it, if everyone understands that. Following me on that? So if we were back here with our second floor, we would still have the same notch. That notch would be back here. So that's the second thing. So just because we're asking to come forward 10 feet, therefore the waiver of this. So with that said, I think just some of the last things, when you look at our setback diagrams, look at the rear setback. We're inside everyone within feet, and the pie shape of the lot, I mean, we're well within the side setbacks and far away from the neighbors. Just from the rear, we only have a small piece that even meets it. So there's a lot of bonuses that are going for us. So to get a balance of openness with the design intent for the overall is on the rear. This is our front elevation here, sort of a modern tropical sort of design. And then the rear is really set back. So our only portion, really, of the rear setback is back here with this big portion completely set back from the rear setback as well. So it's a balance of trying to balance the rear and the front. So I thought that this was a good direction and a smart and logical direction, and I hope that you guys feel the same way. I'm happy to, I know that Andrew, I don't know if they should come on public comment or if I should introduce them now just to say hello.
Yeah, because technically owners are part of the presentation.
Perfect.
So yes.
So they're on Zoom, they're on their vacation, so they wanted to make sure they come through as well too. So
yes, we have Andrew Krupa with her hand raised.
Andrew, before you address the board, I just need to swear you in.
Okay.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You can.
So good morning. Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to just say a few words. I moved to Miami Beach from Ohio in 2008, and my wife and I purchased this home in 2012 with the idea of being a part of the community and sending our kids to school in the Miami Beach school system. We've got three children. The two school-age kids are at North Beach, and we really just love the area. When we ended up having a family that's a little larger than we originally expected, we ran out of space in our home and decided the best thing, given the challenges with climate and sea change and everything else, would be to start over and build a new home. So this is our dream project. We've got at least 20 years we have to stay in this home. And so we're trying to look out into the future for a resilient place that will have space for our kids to grow. Our youngest is only three, so we've got a long time to spend here in this place, and we really appreciate the time that Tom and the board is taking to consider our application. So thank you.
Excellent. And I've just finished with a couple of final last comments as well, too, just a couple of the pluses, because these are the nicest people. I'm just going to have to say there are so many non-greedy things that they're not asking for. We're actually below the maximum building height. The unit size, we're not meeting the maximum unit size. We're below at 47%, 44%. And then, you know, the setbacks I was explaining to you, you see them in the diagrams. We're well within those. You know, the things like with lots like this, the lot coverage, we are maxed out on the lot coverage, but we also don't get the off-street parking for the garage because it's facing a street, it's got something over top of it. You know, that gets arguable to me, but we're not arguing it at all. We're saying fine. You don't need that as well either. You know, because you have to try to come in the other way just to get 500 more square feet to make it more billable. It's about exterior and openness for this family and these guys, and I just find that admirable. So I wanted to add a few more items of real things that we're not coming after or not asking for, just in effort to have a really nice open backyard. So thank you. I also have, by the way, we have Chris Colley, our landscape architect, is here as well, too, if you have any questions for either of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does that conclude your presentation, or does the... Well, I guess if there's questions, we'll do it.
Thank you. Yes.
Are there any... Is there anybody online wishing to speak?
There's nobody online with their hand raised.
Anybody in the audience? Okay, I will close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for comments. Who would like to begin?
I'll just jump in regarding the variance. Yeah, I concur with staff's analysis that the irregular shape of the lot presents a practical difficulty that, in my view, warrants granting the requested variance and waiver.
Yes, and I agree.
Is your microphone on? Is it on now? Yes. So I agree as well. I know that it's a challenge when these lots are not as deep because they're in the curve of that North Bay Road area. I know that this was presented last meeting. Unfortunately, you didn't have a quorum, but you seem to have done the best you could considering the size of the lot and probably the things that the family needed. So it's a challenge to meet both, and I'm okay with this. Thank you. Can I ask you, can you flip so we can see the front of the house?
Sure.
Yeah, that wasn't included in the material that we received.
Oh, it was not?
No, we didn't get any renderings.
Oh, weird. We submitted those two that you see that are kind of on the upside, and then we also submitted more detailed ones from the side as well, which are not printed on the fancy paper, but they kind of, I'm happy to share those with you. They kind of show more of the side elevations. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing on the
table. And then do you know in the packet, I'm trying to get a sense of how far the existing house, how far that is from the street. Does that adhere to the setback, the 40-foot setback, or has it been grandfathered in?
No, the existing house is mainly single story, and it's up at the 20-foot setback.
Okay.
Right, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any comments? Anything on the landscape?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I sort of feel like, I don't know, maybe the lone dissent here, but, you know, this is, with irregular lot sizes, you know, this is something that when it was purchased, you know, they knew what they got. My only concern is, and I guess this is why it's more about the context that I'm wondering, too, what all the, you know, is this house going to jut out beyond where its adjacent neighbors are if we make it? Or, you know, I mean, 10 feet is a lot. I mean, and I can see too on the diagram, you know, it's an entire room that you would lose if you couldn't have it.
Right.
So, you know, I completely understand. For me, it's hard to sort of get a full context of how this is going to affect the entire street, because we don't have necessarily all the information.
Sarah, if I could just interrupt for a second.
Uh-huh.
So typically, the required setback until about 10 or 15 years ago was 20 feet, and you could build a two-story home at a 20-foot setback. Then the code was modified to have this sort of two-tiered approach. So a 20-foot for a single-story portion is not out of context, and then the second floor setback, 30 feet. The other option would have been to do the entire two-story portion, one and two stories at 30 foot. So this sort of is like a tiered approach. It's not going to be any more imposing than what would have been for a two-story structure at a 30-foot setback. Actually, it does provide some mitigation because you see the single-story portion first and then the two-story portion behind it. So they're not asking for anything. If they were asking for a setback of less than 20 feet, that's something that is very rare to be given and is usually not granted unless there's some sort of very unusual or special circumstances related to an existing house that they're modifying. But in this case, it is a brand new house. But like I say, due to the lot depth, they're asking for basically to allow, the other way to look at it is to allow the single story to 20-foot setback versus allowing the two-story portion at a 30-foot setback. There's multiple ways you can look at this.
Thank you.
If I could just add one thing to that as well, too. We really tried to be sensitive to it. The only portion that we even have at the 20-foot setback is the garage. And we made sure, because we could bring more up for the whole idea of the back, but, and I'll show you the first floor plan in a second, but we backed that up, too. Because it's not, I don't want to be imposing on the street either. I do like a single story in front of anything. You know what I mean? So it's not like, da, da, da. You know, so in my context, I really probably should have put that in with more pictures is, you know, when you go anywhere on North Bay Road, the the, you know, it used to be 20 feet and 30 feet for many times, you know, so I thought that it was something that we were doing that was similar of things that are in the neighborhood already, all up and down, actually, North Bay and Alton Road. I just got to say one more thing I forgot. I have letters of recommendation that we weren't able to upload. I have them here. I could hand them in. I have three letters of recommendation, the immediate neighbor to the north, to the south, and then and another one as well. Sorry about that.
No, thank you. Important comments. Yeah. Does anybody else have any other comments? Or?
So do we need five for variance? So so Sarah's comments seem to suggest that that you do not have your variance.
Well, why don't you make a motion then, Will?
Okay, but if the motion fails,
we could always reconsider the motion too. So I think we're safe in that regard.
Okay. I mean, I guess I was gonna, you know, ask you, Sarah, if there was any sort of compromise that, you know, you'd be willing to consider.
I mean, I think, you know, based on everybody else's comments, based on, you know, the staff recommendations, you know, those were, I think my concerns have been
okay
alleviated. I mean, it's a lovely design and it's not too massive. I mean, that being said, it always breaks my heart when, you know, an old Spanish Mediterranean home is demolished. But yeah, you know, I think, I don't know. Okay. Make a motion.
Sure. And anybody else have any comments about the design? I don't know what that meant. I was grabbing the mic. Okay, yeah, unnecessary. Anybody have comments about the design? Hearing none, I make a motion to approve the application, inclusive of the variance request, or should I take that up separately?
You can do separate. We should do two separate motions in case there's a challenge. So if you can start with the design.
I'll start with the design. I make a motion to approve the design.
Second.
Second, I have Mr. Diffendorfer. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes 5-0.
And I make a motion to approve the variance request.
Second.
Second by Mr. Comas. All in favor of the variance?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes 5-0.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you all very, very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0918, 41 Street Right-of-Way Improvements. An application has been filed requesting design review approval on an advisory basis for streetscape improvements along 41st Street to include gateway entry features, landscaping, lighting, and new hardscaping. The area is generally bounded by Alton Road to the west, Pine Tree Drive to the east, and one block north and one block south of 41st Street.
And just to expand upon what Giselle mentioned, this application is before you on an advisory basis. So after the presentation, the board will provide comments, and any sort of recommendations are transmitted to the City Commission via LTC. So with that, I'll turn it over to Colette from CIP to introduce the application.
And just beforehand, have there been any ex-party communications with the board members? No. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, board members. Thank you very much for having us this morning. The city's geobond assigned under project number 40, $15 million for revitalizing 41st Street from Alton Road East to Pine Tree Drive. The revitalization is intended to include landscaping, expanded shade tree canopy, streetscape design to increase better pedestrian mobility through the neighborhood, through the corridor, and some minor street lighting improvements. I'll introduce our consultant from Brooks and Scarpa, Jeff Huber.
Yes, Jeff Huber. I'm a principal of Brooks Scarpa. I'm an architect and a landscape architect. So today we're here to present the overall seven-block corridor streetscape improvement project for 41st Street. What I want to just point out first and foremost, and I know this is a little small to read, but there's several items included in the scope, which I won't go into each one, but what I want to make sure that we understand is that this project does not include traffic signalization changes. It's not going to include any underground utility improvements, nor is it going to include drainage improvements right now. This is mostly a lot of surface treatments and aesthetic upbringing, beautification of the corridor project. You do see some of the proposed schedule down here. We are targeting design completion and permitting in the summer of 24, procurement in the winter of 24, and construction targeted sometime late 24, fourth quarter, or in the beginning of the first quarter of 25. Just giving a broad overview, and I would just ask for 15 minutes to give this presentation too, if that's okay. Just a broad overview. This is a seven-block streetscape improvement project from Alton Road to Pine Tree Drive. You're seeing it kind of encompassed there in the pink outline, highlighting what is in the scope of work of this project, or at least the area of the scope of work. There are several existing challenges. I know in the package that you have, there's a lot of detailed photographs. We're not going to go through each one of those photographs today, but we're just highlighting some of the big challenges. We have a lot of loose concrete, a lot of loose pavers in that streetscape. There is Christmas lighting that was put up on the royal palm trees that was always intended to be there temporarily, and it has some concerns about how it's actually wired right now in a very unsafe manner. There's also a lot of inappropriate landscaping, and we can kind of get into that. Outdated street lamps, broken light fixtures, accessibility issues to a lot of the storefronts, and there's a lot of aged paving markings and other faded kind of crosswalk branding that you see through the corridor. And so these are several of the challenges that we're really kind of faced with. So from an existing site plan, and here you're seeing, again, that seven-block area of the existing conditions, we have several intersections that really have crosswalks. We also have three or four different mid-block crossings, one of which is new mid-block crossing at Jefferson Avenue. And just from a high-level standpoint, one of the things that I want us to understand is 41st Street really has this kind of corridor visioning logic right now. You see this kind of serial visioning of all the palm trees that kind of create this kind of tunnel vision effect. And so one of our first real key concepts to the idea is how to begin to break that up into a kind of concatenation of rooms or a series of spaces. And, you know, it kind of made our design team walk back and just look at thinking through, you know, the 1980s Christo and Jean-Claude of the wrapping of the islands, that in this sense of 41st Street, we could begin to break up that overall length of the seven blocks within a kind of series of 20% of the space being what we saw as kind of urban plazas or oases, as we're calling them. And so we just kind of put that as this kind of high-level concept as you're kind of looking through this. And so the proposed site plan begins to look at what you see here is those six discernible kind of pink zones that create what we call affectionately as the oases, and then the other areas that connect those, these walks. And so with this, it allows us to calibrate where we're really strategically placing investments. It is a very limited budget that we're working with. And so those investments in the oases would spend quite a bit more of the cost of the project or the budgets of the project in those areas, and where the walks would actually begin to enhance the sidewalks and other features. And I'll get into some of the more specifics of that here as we're moving forward. And so just a high-level overview of the project, looking from Alton Road east back towards Pine Tree Drive being there in the distance. And so you're starting to see what we're beginning to do is integrating shade trees and hammocks and other devices within these oases, those areas where the pink paving is showing, which would be a Miami Beach red paving pattern that we'll get into here shortly, but where you're seeing we're increasing that canopy. So you have this kind of prospect and refuge logic now that we're integrating in shade trees, moving between these oases or these plaza-like features, where the rest of the street is maintaining the palm tree canopy as well as integrating a few canopy trees here and there, again, just to increase shade, especially along the north side of the street where it's needed most. If we go into just the existing conditions, again, we're highlighting some of the issues there, but we're also highlighting how many on-street parking spaces. One of the things that I want to say is that the commission resolution allowed a certain amount of parking spaces, on-street parking spaces, to be removed within the corridor of 41st Street as well as on the side streets. But what that resolution did say is anything west of Biscayne Waterway, which you see there on the right-hand side of this image, cannot be removed. So there are 11 on-street parking spaces currently there. And so our proposal is not removing any of those on-street parking spaces in there, but what you're seeing is those enhancements, these features of beginning to botanize the asphalt with the new street canopy trees, as well as starting to look at, in this way, some of the pavings to be a little bit more artistic, and just kind of highlighting some of those. So we are removing a few key trees in this area that you see highlighted there towards Alton Road and 41st Street. And then mostly paving features and enhancements, as well as those canopy trees. These are just elevations of that specific area from west of Biscayne Waterway towards Alton Road, the top being the existing conditions, the bottom being the proposed conditions. So what you're really seeing is we're beginning to take areas and beginning to enhance and amplify more shade, which is going to be critical to create more walkability, safety, and other aspects within that. And that's one of the reasons why those pink areas are also where we're going to integrate Civicel and some other below-grade features that really allow for the enhancement and the maturity of the trees that we're going to be replacing to thrive and succeed in those areas. So as we're moving east, you can see Biscayne Waterway to the left, and as we're moving, again, east towards Prairie Avenue, this includes about 26 on-street parking spaces that we're highlighting here. This is the new developed design that shows the paving, the branded paving along the sidewalks, as well as some of these oases with the Miami Beach red concrete pattern. Just highlighting where we're removing a few of these trees, highlighting where we're actually removing a few of the parking spaces, which you see in that kind of candy cane shape of white and red. So there's about three spaces, one per block, that we're really removing in this area, which is far under what was the limits given to us by the city resolution. And one of the reasons for the removal of those parking spaces is just to really integrate in shade canopy trees. And getting some of those in some of these areas outside the oases. Again, elevations, top being the existing along that particular area of the corridor, bottom being the new, and so you again see these kind of the integration of a shade or a hammock of trees through these oases. The last area moving east again from Prairie or Royal Palm to Pine Tree Drive, you can see some of the deficiencies in the existing conditions. There's about 26 on-street parking spaces. Our proposed plan, and then just kind of overlaying that with where we were removing some of the diseased trees, as well as removing parking spaces. You can see the block between Royal Palm and Sheridan Avenue is where we're removing a primary amount of our on-street parking. But I want to also point out to the north of that, we have the 42nd Street parking garage, as well as P93 lots that are owned by the city, which are just to the north there. And so we really felt like this block one needed a lot more ability to, because of certain choke points, to have some of that removal of on-street parking, but also the fact that we had the on-street parking just to the north of the block in there. What you're also seeing is here is along Henry Liebman Square. We're really trying to amplify that into a plaza-like feature and a festival street that kind of comes down to the south there along that from that from the intersection itself, and really beginning to enhance things like Star Child, the fountain that's there, looking at integrating the existing green buttonwood and some of these other features to really create a kind of urban plaza, if you will, with shade canopy in those spaces. And then the elevations along that part of the block. Just walking through real just quick on typical kind of street sections, this happens to be in these walk areas, so this is the area that we're not enhancing with a tremendous amount of investments. We're really looking at the sidewalk and repaving of the street itself. This is the existing condition. And so this is what we're looking to propose there. What you're seeing on the bottom is that branded pavement in the sidewalks, also branded pavement potentially, or this kind of kit of parts approach that we're looking at of paving materials that could be in the for the on-street parking. But you're also seeing enhancements of landscaping and other features on those side areas. But really, the investments are towards the storefronts, out towards the public right-of-way, or at least the traffic way, and looking at how we're going to reintegrate that. One of the things that we're trying to maintain and well maintain throughout the corridor is a 7-foot clear walkway between the storefront to wherever the next landscape. And that's quite a challenge in here. In the case of some of these, FDOT has put their poles, their light poles, their Cobra lights, right in the center of the sidewalk. What I have to stress is that we will not be able to, under this project, remove any of those FDOT lights, but we do have several Miami Beach lights that are in there. We are looking to move those out of that to create a clear zone. And what this also does in a lot of the areas in this kind of concatenation of how we're creating the landscape to hardscape features is it's going to allow for a lot more ability to spill out of those businesses. This is a priority that we've heard from the 41st Street Blue Ribbon Committee, a priority of the Emerging Business Improvement District, the priority of the stakeholder groups, that they want to have safety, they want to have the ability for things to spill out, to have cafes, restaurants, and other seating, to really begin to activate that. So, you know, our project here is the public realm project of a three-pronged approach that's really looking at revitalizing the entire corridor. In the Oasis areas, where we're really looking at enhancing the mid-block crossings as well as several crosswalks themselves at the intersections, this is the typical section. And so this is where we're really looking at from one building edge to the other building edge across that territory or across that streetscape to look at a branded pavement across one side to the other. But this is where we're looking at the integration of civil cells, really looking at artistically formed lighting and other canopy trees in here to really amplify these areas and become more like a living room, urban living room, if you will, where people can aggregate. This is one of the things that came out of the former study. And I have to say this project's been studied since for, I believe, we're in the 10th year since the Gale report kind of came out. And it's had a few permutations, but we're really trying to maintain to have some of this seat walls and other integration of elements in that crosswalk. So just to give some of the visuals, this is the existing condition there near Jefferson and 41st Street. What we're looking at is what you saw, the difference between here is right now we have pavers, concrete, other things kind of breaking up, and also some of the landscaping. In this particular image, the landscaping is actually in pretty good shape. Other areas it's not, but what we're looking at enhancing is with very simple landscape features. These are all going to be Florida-friendly, native landscape features on these walk areas. In this case, this will be Spartina brachii, which is a sand cord grass, which is an appropriate native species. Also, we're looking at branded concrete paving. One of the things in this project is we can't not afford pavers to put back, so we've started very early on to look at concrete, but using different finishes on that concrete, and I'll explain some of that as we move forward. Some of the other things that you're seeing in this is just moving some of the City Miami Beach street lights out of the sidewalk and into those planted areas. Other features that you'll see, and we're going to talk about, one of the things that we're really looking to hear from the DRB today is about the lighting strategies in this project. So at night, we see this incredible capacity that this is a 24/7 street. Lighting is going to be a big approach to that. If you go along 41st Street right now, it is a pretty bright corridor due to the festoon or the Christmas string lights that are wrapped around or barbered around the palm trees. One of the things that our project could do is permanentize those, and that's what we're kind of showing in this case, if that was the case. But we do have three options that we would like to discuss as a possibility. Option one is, as you just saw, the string lights. Option two is looking at string lights potentially on every other palm tree. Some of the stakeholder feedback we got was that, again, it's just too bright. There's a way to kind of balance this out. There's also a third option that we would like to look at using a light ring that any one of these light choices, I want to note right now, the lights cannot be dimmed in any way. So any option that we're putting on there will create a white light only, but it will be a dimmable light. It will have a lot of clarity in that light as well as looking for a more elegant solution. So this is option one, as you already saw. Option two, this is just looking at installing those string lights on every other. And then option three would be taking these kind of tree rings, which would have four lights on them, two lights actually uplighting the canopy, which right now the canopies are completely dark when you go down that street. It's just the trunks. And so we figure this will be a really nice effect, especially at night, kind of seeing that rustle, the fronds rustling in the wind with this light condition, as well as lighting the trunk itself. And maintaining these lights out of any vandalism or any potential of them being damaged, which is what's happening right now in a lot of cases with the string lights that are in there. From an overall planting palette, we are looking at mostly Florida-friendly native plants. The only non-natives are kind of going into the Oasis areas. And that's really because they're more shade tolerant. And just looking at some elements that really exude or expose like a kind of subtropical, tropical feel. But these are all native large canopy trees that we are integrating. The ground covers and shrubs are the only ones that would possibly be non-natives. But you're looking at, even on the bottom, we're looking at things at like perennial peanut, Fakahatchee, and others like that. Along the existing canopy, we're only removing 2 Florida royal palms. We were allowed up to 15% by commission resolution, but there's really only one that is dead and one that's diseased that we're looking at removing. There are a lot of canopies that are arborist, or a lot of the Florida royals that are arborist did a report on that are carved into. We don't see that graffiti as a big menace, and so we don't want to remove a tree if it doesn't necessarily need to be removed, because again, it's an iconic kind of image along 41st Street that there's no other streets really like that one in there. And so that's something that we really wanted to maintain. Looking at the palm trees, again, there's kind of 2 conditions that are happening there, and this is really because of the confinement of the trees, is that they're having root ball issues where the roots are being girdled and actually coming up and exposing. So we're looking at how do we begin to reconcile some of that with the safety tripping hazard that those could have. And so we're looking at potential integration of seat walls as well as tree grates to begin to really help with some of the walkability aspects of that. Just looking at that proposed paving of this branded paving, here's the concrete with this kind of banded, whether it be sandblasted, rock salt, exposed aggregate, or broom finishes. And this is also kind of thinking about future-proofing the project in the sense that we know that there may have to be underground utility and infrastructure improvements in the future. And so if we just broadly paved it with one type of finish and one type of material, that would become scarred over time. And so what we're trying to bake into the project is a little bit of that, you know, that if you have to remove a chunk and replace it, it's not going to look like it was never intended to be that way. And so this is, again, part of that future-proofing and thinking about the economy, or at least the costs of things. And so this is just some of the examples of the paving types and finishes that we would like to use with shellstone aggregates, exposed aggregates, broom finishes, as you're kind of seeing there. When we're looking at the furniture, we're using all of the kind of standard furniture that's already in the city of Miami Beach. There's nothing that we're reintegrating in there from that top standpoint, from benches, trash cans, bike racks, street lamps. Those are all standard. Where we are looking at potentially new elements, it would be the precast seat walls. And so we're looking at the potential of gray and pink, or at least Miami Beach red type tones, depending on whether in the oases or these walk areas. So walks kind of primarily stay with that gray look, and the oases will be this kind of pink look. And so this is just looking at a rendering of an existing mid-block around one of these oases. So this is the oasis itself. So what you're seeing is really this kind of amplification of taking one paving material from building edge to building edge. In this case, this Miami Beach red, which we wanted to look at a rock salt finish or look at porous or permeable concrete. Those are all options right now, again, as this kind of kit apart approach that we're looking at in the project. You're also seeing lighting kind of integrated in here. And at night, these would really be amplified as a kind of, again, a living room where we would integrate lighting into the trees, nuance lighting, as well as around seat walls. And you know, this is where we're also looking for a little help with the DRB today, because we've had several stakeholder meetings and conversations with other groups and looking at light options in here. We, again, see these lights as being a part of kind of an artistic approach to this. So this is almost some of the public art integration. We have options for light column, options for another light that's similar to the light column, but also integrates in a color change light and a white light. I should say the option one does integrate in color changing. And then we have the third option with these
lights. Excuse me, Jeff, that's 15. How much longer do you think you need? I mean, this
is...
Okay.
5 more minutes.
No, I mean, it's very informative.
I thought I was going a little faster. Sorry about that. So option three is these light rings. And so we're just looking at lighting option one, those light columns. So these are very simple columns. You've seen these kind of integrated in other areas of the city. These would be color changing. It's and also dimmable. And so those strategies, this is just what that light would look like in the context of these oases. And then we're looking at this second option where it has, again, a top light that's going to be white and a bottom light that would be colored. And this is the kind of approach that that one would have as an option. I would have to say that the least expensive option is option one right now with some of the budgetary issues that we're having and cost escalations, as you all are very heavily aware of probably in this market, that it would be the kind of preferred option. But we wanted to present some of these as just kind of other options. And so option three is these light rings and just kind of having these integrated. Again, they could be light color changing with good rendition of the lighting. And then just kind of pointing to some of those nuanced lightings where we're lighting up the canopy as well as the seat walls at the Oases. Just looking at some of the Oasis paving patterns, you can kind of see the Miami Beach red concrete and a rock salt finish or as a porous kind of concrete finish that you see there on the right. And just some of the color options that we're looking at. And I do have a material board here today to kind of look at some of those color options that we're looking at. We do show... also thinking about furniture in the Oases, we'd like to paint the furniture. There's been a lot of conversations about whether or not we paint them with the same kind of what we're looking at is actually the dragon fruit color, which is the bottom left color. We're looking at integrating it with that. That's still being discussed. And then you can see the seat walls would be like a more Miami Beach red type pigmented seat wall coloration. The other aspect of this project is looking at gateway features and public art features. And we're just showing a ton of different precedents, some of which are ours, some of which you find here in the city as well as in the region. But what we're really looking at is that bottom left-hand side is kind of something that's fun, may integrate lighting in it, kind of works with some of the existing trees, allowing them to create some shade and canopy for folks to kind of walk through. Again, kind of creating this experience and this kind of quality of a 24/7 street as we're moving through. And so, again, this is the aerial you saw earlier, looking at it at night. So you're, again, kind of seeing where that lighting in the Oases kind of gets amplified. Again, we're working with FDOT to ensure that everything we're presenting today kind of works within the standards that we're going through. And with that, I'm done. If there's any further questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does that conclude? Do you have anything else to add? Or?
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for a very thorough presentation. Is there anybody, any other members of the public wishing to comment? Anybody online?
And there is nobody online.
Okay, so I'm going to close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for comments.
I'll start. Nice project. You guys do not have a big budget on this at all, right? It's really a shoestring budget to do this.
No, right now we have $10 million basically is the construction budget. I know Colette said
15. And are the curb... basically staying where they are, you're not touching the curbs for that price, I would assume. Yeah.
Correct. We are not, no.
Just a couple comments. I love the idea of the concrete different patterns instead of pavers because pavers always just seem to get dated and then they never can be replaced properly and they always look terrible. So I think that's a great, I really like that and appreciate that you took the time for that. Love that you're not using the Disney Victorian lighting that we seem to be putting elsewhere in the city. So the lighting, any choice I think is great and so much better than what the city's putting, those Victorian lights everywhere. Why in the world wouldn't, with all this light, like we basically have light pollution, does FDOT require those Cobra lights in the middle of the sidewalks?
Yes, there is a certain level because this is an evacuation corridor for the city, one of four. And so that's why the lighting is critical to maintain. And I should also have mentioned, you know, it's also critical for first responders, police, fire, ambulances to maintain this this corridor, the width of the travel lanes too, and that's another.
Yeah, but the light, you're telling me they need Cobra lights in addition to all this other stuff with all the traffic that's on that road. Like, it's really kind of redundant.
Correct, and that's one of the reasons why we're looking at abilities to dim some of the nuanced lighting that we're adding, and really it's to highlight an accent, but also create some safety for pedestrians, motorists, you know, and bicyclists through the corridor as well.
Okay. But typically on FDOT right-of-way, wherever they have, which this is, they always insist on having their level of lighting, their quality of lighting, because at any moment they feel the city can change. And by having these very tall Cobra lights, which are not aesthetically pleasing and or is misplaced, they meet the requirements that they have within their agency for lighting out of an evacuation zone.
Okay. Just a couple more things. I know the parking, I know people hate to see any parking going away, and I hope you are very conscientious about, you know, there's a lot, look, especially on Chase Avenue, west of Chase, you'll see the parking in front of it and behind the spaces seems to be a lot of wasted space, and there's no scooter parking per se, and so can you look into putting scooter park, don't take one parking space away. Don't take one away, but if you could slide them either a little forward or a little backward to add another space in those spots or just add, like, scooter parking, I think it would be helpful.
You said west of Chase?
West of Chase particularly is where you can look at the diagram and you can see, like, there's – the curve cuts should be sharper, I think, to have more landscaping in either park or landscape, but this dead space always makes me crazy, and that's where I park my scooter. But – it's not, it should be scooter parking because there really is none on that corridor that I can be aware of. And I don't love the pink furniture, I gotta say. It's a little overkill. That's all. I think that about sums it up.
I have to admit that, given the fact that you have a very limited budget, you have done a lot. And it's a very nice overall project. I have a couple of comments. The hardscape, I really like the way you have handled the concrete textures. There is one area on Jefferson that I think if the red from 41st could penetrate Jefferson, could be a plus. Instead of that part of Jefferson being completely isolated from the rest of the area. And I am strongly against the option one lighting. They've used them in Miracle Mile in Coral Gables, and the glare that it produces takes away from your vision of the beautiful landscape they've done. But the vertical poles with the lights shining on your eyes do not contribute to the beauty of the space.
So you prefer the ones that have the circle on top?
Two things. I think down lights will be better, and I will stay away from putting lights up in the canopy, the tree canopies, because of it creates girdling and all kinds of problems to the trees.
Right. Yeah, and just to kind of, first we did look at the pink concrete north into Jefferson, and we've just been doing some value engineering. Obviously, you know, we're still continuing to move through that. We will definitely look at that, and I completely understand where you're coming from with the lighting and aspects. As you know, this is, it's been really tough because it's a public realm. And if you look at every light that's in the ground right now, uplighting, it's broken through this corridor. And these are pretty robust lights that, you know, we would look at. And so those are challenges, but definitely noted, and we'll definitely move and look at, you know.
Could in the design of the lineal benches, you can introduce light from below?
And that's when we do have tape light. Yeah. Actually, what we're integrating in the seat walls. Underneath.
That way, you will light the hardscape and not necessarily be looking at lights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Did you say that you brought samples with you of the different?
We do have some samples. Yes. And so these are just, that one dragon fruit color, the pink that we're looking at painting the lights, but it's also got some of the Miami Beach red paving patterns as well as some of the finished materials that would be looking on the lighting.
This is a little flashy.
And so these are the different...
There are different tones that we could choose because, again, it's an integrated pavement. We know that there's been a lot of challenges and discussion about Miami Beach red in the city, And so that's one of the strategies that we're going to be looking at is how we begin to break that up. One of them could be just like we did the sidewalk. We may break it up with different kind of colors and patterns, even in these oases, just to try to, again, understand that and plan for the inevitable.
And then this would be the benches?
So those would be the existing lights. And in the way of the existing lights along the city lights, we're going to be we'll be removing them, cleaning them, painting them, repainting them. They're black right now, so we'd be using the same kind of black powder-coated finish. In the way of some of the furniture, it's got the Kynar, that kind of silver finish, as well as the bike racks are a brushed aluminum, and we'll just be kind of reintegrating some of those. So we're looking at just kind of replacing a lot of the colors. The only time that we would use the pink paint color was potentially on the furniture, but I'm getting the feedback. So,
well, and so with the lighting, I mean, to Scott's point, I agree those lights are awful. The only lights that you're looking to replace are the lighting that you've showed us is just for the Oasis sections. It's not for the entire street.
So the entire street, the only lighting that you're looking at that we would replace is potentially on those Florida Royal Palms. And that's either permanentizing the kind of Christmas or barber pole string lights that are there now, because right now they are basically tethered from the street lamps to that. And it's just the next, any hurricane, any wind event, we'll have some serious challenges. But yes, we're replacing one-to-one any city of Miami Beach light that's there. And if it does have an old acorn head or something like that, we are going to replace it with the new LED standard heads. And I believe there's about three of those. Along Jefferson, there's an odd conditioning happening because the city received a grant from FDOT to place back some streetlights in there. And you'll see that those streetlights, particularly at that crosswalk, are not the same as the other street lamps throughout the corridor. And so those are some challenges our project is kind of contending with.
Okay, so then the pink lights that you were showing that Orlando was coming at, the pole lights,
those are only in the oases.
In the oases,
In those areas that we're showing the pink paving, correct. That's only in those particular areas, of which there's six.
Right? Okay.
I wouldn't use them at all.
You don't like them? Well, I have to say, and maybe I disagree with my colleagues, I think that this is fantastic, and I love it because it's giving 41st Street an identity, which it doesn't really have right now. It's just sort of a throughway with some retail, you know. And I like that you're doing that with color because I love color. I love the inspiration. I like the pink. I don't want there to be a little – I think if you had the benches and the sidewalk, this Miami Beach red pink color, I sort of think that would be a little bit too much, and the lighting poles. I happen to love the uplight. I think it's just beautiful and unique. And this is my neighborhood. And the Christmas lights on every single tree is just, it's way too much. It's definitely overkill. And I think it would just, again, having that uplighting, everybody, you know, as I'm sure you know, there has been a huge controversy in the city over the palms versus the shade trees. And I think it's because, among other things, you know, people love the palms, and the idea of having this corridor of these uplit palm fronds, I think, is really unique and beautiful. But what I'm also hearing, too, with the use of the lighting, is that that's not necessarily going to be the main thing. The point of that lighting is for aesthetics as opposed to lighting the street, because we're still going to have these, like, acorn lamps and the cobra lamps, and that's there. There's nothing we can do about it.
Correct.
It's beyond the scope of the budget. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the pink furniture. I love these oases. I'm Camp Shade Tree, so I think that that's a great addition, and I would like to have some more, you know, cafes and activation out on 41st Street to give it a feel almost like you have, and I'm sure you've studied this, you know, Harding and Surfside. And yeah, I agree with the variation in the sidewalks. I think that's great long-term planning. What else? And I also think it's interesting attempting to activate that section at the end, the park Redmond with Square. The Star Child. There's no way that you could move that pole that's completely blocking Star Child, is there? Has that been a...
Not in our budget, but I can tell you there's been a lot of conversations about the 5G pole.
Yeah. But I love that, you know, I was also wondering if that was going to be permanent. You know, that's quickly become a beloved feature. I also really like the pink canopy structures that you're putting. Again, like anything that gives the street a unique visual identity, not just for the residents. Hopefully it's, you know, going to stimulate, like I said, you know, economic development on the street, but also for tourists that are coming. This is such a major corridor. And Miami Beach is such a unique, you know, everybody loves that Welcome to Miami Beach sign. They love the little neon circles around the palm trees. This, to me, making that an extension of that, I think is a really nice gesture and, again, makes it very memorable. I think that was all I had.
And I wanted the uplighting, too. I'm sorry you don't like it, but it is amazing. And when I see it in Bell Harbor and stuff, I'm like, why don't we have more of that? Because it's really beautiful. So if you can make that, I would vote for that too.
I mean, it has such a grand gesture to it, and it's. I feel like a good use of lighting and a good use of paint, it's just the least expensive way to make something really spectacular. Myra, do you have any other comments?
Unfortunately, yes. You know, I'm new to this board. However, I am not new to 41st Street or Miami Beach. I've only been living here 61 years. So I have experienced 41st Street as a child, as a young adult, as a parent, as a grandmother. And in my former life as assistant city manager here in Miami Beach, I have seen numerous designs that we have contemplated for 41st Street. I like what you're doing. I think, however, we need as a city to first, and this would be my main message to the commission, and I don't know why I can only assume why it's being done this way, but I think that the project needs to be looked at more comprehensively. And so why are we fixing the top when we haven't fixed the bottom? Why aren't we first doing drainage, the storm sewers, the water, the sewer lines, you know, and the drainage? I think that should be done first, because eventually it does have to be done. And when we do it, it's going to, the $10 million plus that you have in the budget is going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed in order to do those things. And so I think that they need to put their money into the project and do it properly, because a lot of constraints you're facing because of the budget, and so it's not properly addressing all the elements even of the upper part of 41st Street. I'm also wondering what the effect of the traffic calming that you're introducing will have on the neighboring neighborhoods, such as Pine Tree, LaGorse Drive, and Alton, Meridian, you know, all the other adjacent neighborhoods. This is a commercial road, and it is an evacuation zone, and it should move traffic, and right now it's not really moving traffic as efficiently as it should. And so if your traffic calming affects that even to a more negative extent, then that becomes more of a problem for the city. The other question or comment that I have is the parallel parking that we currently have on 41st Street and on the side streets leading the Finger Streets. How much of it is actually being removed?
So right now we are only removing 10 parking on street parking.
And I know you received more, the ability to remove more, but why is it being removed? Are you putting landscaping in those areas? Okay. Which then narrows the street even more, has then less of an ability to move the traffic through a commercial road and move it into the residential roads, which is not where it should be.
We're not affecting any traffic or travel lanes, though. All those widths stay the same. So any of these on-street parking spaces, it's removing a few key ones just to get in shade trees. And that's in those zones that we see between those oases that we really want to create, you know, greater walkability and
are
safety.
They in the bulb outs or the...
So they're not in the bulb outs. They're more mid-block conditions mm-hmm. that we're doing that. And so, again, nothing...
So it doesn't narrow the street?
Correct. No, ma'am. And
or the
that's
effect
the,
of narrowing.
And our biggest intent here was never to change the traffic patterns. We're not changing the signals. We in fact, will look at... There's been some questions about the signalization, especially for the mid-block crossings and how those are timed. We will be looking at some of those things as we move further into the project, but we're at this point not changing any traffic patterns.
And you bring that up. We have mid-block traffic lights on two blocks that has been there for many, many years, at least 60 that I can think of. And it doesn't, to me, it doesn't make sense. It only slows down the traffic on a road that we already have three schools that, at different times of the day, create a traffic slowdown. So why continue with those mid-block traffic lights on two of the blocks? I would say that that also is another way of looking at this project more comprehensively, of course, if you have a bigger budget. Another point is, and I didn't see it on your presentation or online, but there, west of Alton on 41st Street, there is a big lot that is city-owned, and it's on the north side. Is there any landscaping or enhancement being done to that?
Not as a part of this project.
Right, because of the budget.
Not only. The limits of the project are set for a few reasons, but Alton Road is, I think you may be aware that there's a project that FDOT is enhancing Alton Road to an area just north of 41st Street. And we have to look at how these projects are you know, meeting each other, how they're coordinated. So that area is outside of the limits of this project as it was.
Yeah, I will tell you that the presentations from FDOT for Alton Road mm-hmm. from 41st Street to 63rd do not include anything on that lot.
On that corner.
Yeah. Previous attempts to enhance 41st Street, which I agree, it's the entryway to Miami Beach. It is the entryway, but it doesn't look like one now. And that is the first thing people see coming in mm-hmm. and leaving. You know, I think it should be included in a project like this. Previous projects did include it, and you know, we. Another thing that I don't see included, again, not looking at the project comprehensively, is the lighting on the bridges, the bridge by, I call it by the Roosevelt Theater, and the bridge by, you know, past Pine Tree Drive. Previous projects always looked at the lighting on those bridges, as we have in other areas of Miami Beach. Are you including any lighting or anything on those bridges?
No, and in fact, what we're going to do is just enhance and rehab some of the murals and pieces that are on there, because in most part, the paving is in really good shape. There are some loose or missing tiles on the mosaics themselves that we're going to be looking at. There may be some minor enhancements, but right now, again, due to the limitations of the project budget, we felt that the bridge is one of those elements that would be very costly to begin to do improvements to. And already we're in the lighting aspects of the project. I mean, this is a major part of our budget.
Yes, because it may not just be lighting. It could be the railings on those bridges.
Yes.
I disagree with my landscape architect here. I like up lighting. I like the lighting on the crown of trees. It creates a bigger, to me. And
excuse me, know. I was not against up lighting.
Good.
I was against the poles.
The poles. The
that
the
have
trunk.
The lights coming straight at you.
Yes.
That's the only one that I was against.
Yes. So, okay, that's good. The little rings, the example of the little rings on the trees, you know, that sort of carries out the design that is at the entrance of Julia Tuttle. You know, as you exit Julia Tuttle, those rings were put in there back in 1993. A lot of them are missing now, but if we want, as a city, to continue that design, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't necessarily like the pink furniture. I have it on my phone just so that I can find it, because I tend to lose it, but I agree with some of you. I think it's too bright, especially for the Mid-Beach area. I thank you for the project.
Thank you. And just to, Sumaira, just you'd prefer that they allocate the funds, not necessarily to the visual enhancements, but to the under the infrastructure.
That they do the project as a whole, that they start, you know, there's a phrase I won't repeat that my neighbor uses, but, you know, I could put a lot of makeup on, but if I don't fix all the wrinkles on my face, and this is not what my neighbor uses, you know, I'm just putting makeup on, you know, so I need to fix those wrinkles first. We need to fix the drainage, the storm sewer, the water lines,
and all that, you know. And then did you, studying that, was that part of what you were doing? I mean, how bad is it? At what point are we, is the city going to have to rip up all this beautiful physical enhancements?
So separately, this project did not include infrastructure upgrades or replacements. But simultaneously, our Public Works Department is working on replacement of the water mains along the entire corridor of 41st Street. And we are looking to see how that can be phased along with our project to minimize disruptions in the neighborhood. So there's that. The water is being addressed. The drainage and I think you said, and the sewer, there are no projects currently underway for that, but we have had conversations with the Public Works Department to see what can be done, if anything, simultaneously. But there's nothing at this time that is programmed for those two.
I'm sorry, I forgot one thing. The landscaping that's being added, the electrical wires on 41st Street, I don't remember. Do they go east-west? Do they cross over like where the traffic lights are?
So,
and will the landscaping interfere with any of that?
No. No, the landscaping won't interfere with any of the electrical. Like, we are adding new electrical in the project, as well as one of the things we didn't mention is security and cameras are also going to be added at the intersections of this project, which is also part of our budget, which are substantial budget items. And hence, you know, why some of the utilities and other things that are existing conditions.
You're talking about the red light cameras?
No, these are specifically police cameras at the intersections that currently do not exist in 41st Street.
And undergrounding of utilities is yet another example of looking at the project holistically. Let's go in there, let's do the whole thing, and let's be out. Right. So that we don't
even
have
if it
to
means
tear
putting
out.
It off for a very long time. Because I feel
been
like
putting
you've
it
made
off, we've been putting
decades.
It off for decades. And we keep on putting lipstick on it, mm-hmm. and at a high price, because $10 million is nothing to laugh at. And we don't seem to get it done. This is our entryway.
And I, if you don't mind, if I just, because one of the big issues that we looked at early on when we did do the survey is it all included underground utilities. And so where we are integrating these oases is where there's the least impact of underground utilities in the future of this project, because that's where a lot of the paving investment that we're putting in. And two, one of the reasons why we want to look at a porous feature was that if you were building to future sea level or other aspects, you could potentially keep these oases in the future, phasing it out for the other 80% of the street being raised and kind of dealing with things. So it almost turns these oases, which will be at the end of the day higher than the rest of the street now, will become bowls in the future or become kind of a rain garden or an ability to kind of deal with certain stormwater in the future. I mean, so, we're kind of trying to drive some of the future-proofing, considering we don't want to squander taxpayer money on investments right now. And so that's why we've come with this kind of kit-apart strategy. We can move things around. Because when we did see the survey, I mean, this is things equivalent to a Georgia roadmap underneath the ground there from the standpoint of where utilities. It is a quite extensive amount of utilities.
And they're never where they say they are either.
Yes.
Let me just clarify about the lighting. The ones that I was opposed to are the vertical poles. Do you have the
option one?
The sheet? That's it.
Right.
The first one to the left.
Right.
That's the only ones. The other two are downlights, which are fine. I'm all for downlights, and I'm all for uplights, but not downlights from the crown of the trees.
Okay.
Uplighting the crowns, but not
understood
in the trees.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know that this was a pretty comprehensive presentation. We addressed a lot. Do you feel like you got what you needed? It seemed like we all like the round lights the best, the uplighting of the trees versus the Christmas lights, the use of the pink Miami Beach red, but more as a highlight as opposed to everywhere. What else was addressed? Did I cover it all?
No color on the furniture. I think that was.
I mean, I like that. But again, it's all in relation. If you have pink sidewalks, having pink furniture is overkill.
Exactly. I don't hate pink altogether. It's just everything was pink, and it seemed just a little much.
Okay.
Choose a.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like an choose one accessory, one highlight. Yeah. And then there was the concern with the order of things. I personally feel like 41st Street has needed a rehab for so long. It keeps getting pushed down. That's why I'm excited to see something. I thought, in one of your very first slides, it showed all the things that were wrong with 41st Street. I happen to walk 41st Street a lot. And yeah, it's very noticeable. I would, one of the things that I find that's very thoughtful about what you're proposing is that you are planning for growth and change, and I think that that's the way forward to be able to get this done, because this is something, and I know that a lot of people that own businesses in the land, there's a lot of vacancies on 41st Street. They're really pushing to get something to make this more of a very active commercial and retail corridor, and I do think that these physical changes are going to make that more appealing, and I would hate to keep pushing it down and have those businesses suffer.
And I wouldn't push it down. I would tell the city, get the money. Find it, because it's been in geo bonds. It's been included. I know working with FDOT is, God bless you. I mean, it is a very difficult situation. And FDOT should be paying, because it's an FDOT, a state road, should be paying for a lot of this, But the money is there. It's just a matter of putting it into 41st Street.
Okay, so do you feel like you've gotten what you need?
I believe we've...
Because are we doing a motion on this?
Well, I think it's a consensus. So I'd like to just clarify in terms of the lighting options. For the palm tree lighting, it sounded like there was a consensus to go with the circular lighting for the palm trees. And then for the artistic lighting, definitely not option number one with the poles. But in terms of the other two, is it option two or option number three?
I think it was option three, which was also circular, which frankly reminds me a lot of the sort of awning structures at the bookends. So I think that would be nice. And the things on the palm trees, the neon on the palm trees coming in to have
that
circle.
They can add up lights from the ground up.
Right. And then, like you said, no lights from inside the canopy trees.
Right.
Inside.
Because then you have wires going up the tree and you're strangling branches and
And then the scooter parking, where it can be accommodated without reducing the on street parking,
and the possibility of bringing the red hardscape into Jefferson.
Got that. And then the option as well in terms of the benches, I guess the concrete benches, not to continue the red for the concrete benches.
Yeah, keep them gray.
To use the color a little bit more sporadically.
Okay, great. And then we'll also include sort of an idea for the city to look at the infrastructure and the need for that, just to let them know that the board was concerned about that.
Thank you.
Are we good?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you have much. A timeline or a time frame? Or I know we ask you this every time you appear for us.
Oh, no, definitely. We want to be under construction the latter part of next year.
So we're moving from 30% drawings to 60% drawings now.
And then do they come, are you going to come before us again, or this is it?
This is it.
This is it, yeah.
Exciting.
But thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0917, 5855 North Bay Road. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story residence with an understory, including one or more waivers, to replace an existing single-story home.
So just to expand upon what Giselle mentioned, the applicant is before you for the understory, as well as for a waiver of the two-story elevation, which exceeds 60 feet in length. As proposed, the elevation is 64 feet in length. The design is broken up well, so staff is supportive of that waiver. We are recommending approval in accordance with the conditions in the draft final order, which starts on page 37 of the board packages.
Just before we start, any ex parte communications? None. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jose Sanchez with Praxis Architecture, 278 Northwest 37th Street in Miami. I'm representing today Bill and Natalie Hernandez, our clients for the project. This is a home that we have been designing for them for several months. It's not a spec home, and it's located on another dry North Bay Road lot, this time on a corner lot in the 50s on 58th, which is a relatively quiet area or portion of North Bay Road with local traffic mostly. In these images, the area and location map, you can see the vicinity. Most of the lots on the east side are about the same size, approximately 8,000 square feet, narrow lots. And on the east side, of course, the waterfront, much larger lots. The houses on the east are typically a combination of one-story and two-story houses, and in the exact, in the adjacent area, they're mostly two stories or a combination. And across the street, it's mostly larger Mediterranean estates and some new houses. Right across the street, there is one in a modern language, more futuristic. Moving forward, these are the images representing the project. What we are trying to do is to design a composition of mostly planes as opposed to solid volumes to reduce the bulk of the house. Of course, in an understory project, it's always the challenge. So we created some main white cement stucco volumes acting as frames, and with the infill planes recessed in a darker color with bronze glazing and a wood finish material. The darker color planes are recessed and visually contrast with the frames. And there's a horizontal plane or a canopy at the upper level, which ties the project together, and it's in a darker color, again, to reduce the impact of the house and make it less imposing. You can see in the left view the overall site where the pool has been located towards the front setback to the extent that it's allowed to get better access to the sun and better views, of course. And also to locate the main portions of the house away from Alton Road that produces some noise. And these images, you can see the house from all the different corners for visualization. And I should mention that here we are depicting the eyebrows the way they are intended. In the official submittal, I think they are heavier with 8 inch of thickness. And all around the narrow strip windows, in this case, they are lighter. And I think that's the intention that should be noted for the application. In the ground floor, here you can see the advantage of the understory home, the main advantage, which is the casual living area, a generous terrace. in comparison with what you could do in a regular two-story house in this size lot, with a living area, dining, and a barbecue area, and a two-car garage, and a relatively large pool. And these casual living areas are open to the yards on three sides with cross ventilation. In the first floor, the main living areas are facing the west. It's basically a simple split plan with the entrance in the center in a recessed area, and the guest bedroom and study on the east side. On the upper level, the second floor, the master bedroom facing the west, and three bedrooms at a very basic configuration. But you could see in this floor plan the second floor, how it's recessed from the lower level. So there's a plane at the first level, and then here at the second level, it's recessed to minimize its impact. This section shows the decorative beam that's encroaching into the required courtyard, and it's basically to tie the composition. We thought that there was more to lose than to gain if we didn't do that. This is the material palette for the project, with the lower level in a dark gray stone material to make it look with a floating effect, and darker columns at the ground level, the white cement stucco, and wood infill panel material, which would be perhaps similar to this this color, and this tone in this this gray tone color. The fence would be the white cement stucco and aluminum, the portions that are required for the visibility triangle. This is the landscape architecture plan. The landscape architects are available by Zoom if necessary. The owners, unfortunately, could not be present due to travel issues. They would have liked to, but it was not possible. And that's basically the aesthetics of the project. That concludes the presentation. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak?
There is nobody with their hand raised on Zoom.
Okay. I'm now going to close the public portion of the presentation and open it up to the board for comments. Who would like to begin? I found your presentation, the materials submitted, a little bit hard to follow because things weren't, the elevations weren't necessarily labeled. And I've seen, so basically what you're proposing, though, I guess these are just some clarification questions. Right now it seems like the driveway is on North Bay Road, and the main entrance to the house is on 59th, and then the backyard is also sort of off 59th, and you're reversing that so that the pool is what's facing all North Bay Road, and the driveway is off of 59th.
Correct.
Is that the orientation?
Yes, that's the orientation.
Okay, sorry, that was very... And then what you were saying about... On the materials you submitted, this is the banding versus what you're seeing is different. Can you, because
yes,
that was also, I guess it's slide number 3 in the presentation. You know, I kept comparing it to the renderings on slide 2, and I didn't really understand what I was looking at.
This is
so
two?
So what exactly,
okay,
if this isn't what you're proposing, then what is what you're proposing?
No, this is exactly what we're proposing. I will clarify, and these are the more photorealistic renderings. But here in this image, we have the side elevations, not as photorealistic renderings, which are the one at the bottom left and at the top. Those are not depicted here, But they are okay. The rest is exactly the same. What changes is on the side elevation and the rear elevation, only the eyebrows.
Which one are you talking? Which of the four?
Those are the small. It's small windows, like bathroom windows. On the left side, you see the two windows, strip windows. In the original presentation, we had presented an eyebrow that was 8 inches thick, and all around, and it was too heavy. So okay. We corrected that. That's what we noticed.
Okay. Good.
And these views are just shown for legibility from above. They are different, but we couldn't do photorealistic for those.
Okay. And then and the was it the waiver, is just for that the band along the top. Instead of it being fully open, it's this decorative band to continue the line.
Right. In the right side image is the band above the first floor
right. That
goes across the entry. Or in the image at the bottom center is that main beam that ties everything together. Otherwise, it would have been portions or elements that are not tied together in the composition.
Okay. I understand. Thank you for qualifying that.
I'm sorry, I still need some clarification. If you can go back to the previous screen. So the band you're talking about is, the actual, the band you're talking about is the one that is L-shaped above the pool area on the second floor, the first livable floor?
Right, it's this shape. It's the band on the top, of the entry.
Okay.
Let me show the floor plan. It would be where the waiver request indicates there. That wall of the living room continues as a decorative beam across.
The entry is on North Bay, which
The entrance is on 59th on the side, and it's shown by the stairs, L-shaped stairs.
Right, okay.
There. And the indentation, the main indentation on 59th. And that beam, it's happening on top of the red bubble. It goes across.
Okay. So that wouldn't be above the pool area then?
No, the pool is on the technical front of the lot. We're entering on the side street.
On the North Bay Road side of the lot?
Yes, the pool is on the North Bay Road side of the lot. Perhaps this was presented too fast, but... Here you can see North Bay Road.
Uh-huh.
So that's the main yard. It's really in the front side of the house, or the technical front yard, and the access is on the street side.
So that variance is really on the 59th Street side.
It's on the 59th. Yes, I believe it's a waiver. Yes. Oh, there you go. I think you can see it better in that image. Decorative concrete beam.
Do you have any letters of support from your neighbors across?
No, we don't.
Or surrounding the property?
No, we don't.
Did you attempt to do it? Did they agree and just didn't follow through?
I don't know. I think actually the owner is traveling. He was going to do it. He couldn't do it. But it was something that he understood that he could obtain.
We do send out, so this all applications get noticed in the Herald. We do the site posting on the site and send out the mail notice to all property owners within 375 feet of the property. We have not received any letters of objection on the application.
Does anybody have any comments on the design or the landscaping? Okay. Scott?
I get the concrete beam. It makes sense to me. The wall around the house just seems uncovered with anything. And I don't know what grasses those are on the outside and how tall they're supposed to get, but it would be nice to break that up a bit, no?
Okay.
Could I jump in a minute? Isn't there in the code that the walls have to be 4 feet inside the property line?
No, the maximum height.
No, I mean, that have to be set in.
Oh, no, only you can do 5 feet on the property line. If you go to 6 feet tall, you have to set it back 2 feet. If you go to 7 feet tall, you have to set it back 4 feet.
I have to say that one of my big issues with this project is that wall that, you know, I went and I stood at the corner and I looked around. You know, I'm always thinking about context. And I think that was why I was so confused, because I was trying to understand where the driveway was. Mm. But it does seem like an enormous expanse of solid wall. And I looked around at all the other homes, and most of the other homes, if they do have walls, like right next door, there's no wall. The house, you know, there's a string of homes to the south that don't have a solid wall. There's one across the street that does have one, but it's broken up. It's not solid. That to me, it just seems very unfriendly.
And I was particularly on the sidewalk. It looks like it's right on the sidewalk with no buffer, and it yes. just looks commercial and begging to be graffitied to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we could consider its design to.
I would also say too, you know, there's so much lightness in the design of the house. I'd like to see. I mean that. Again, it just seemed like, and I understand the pool is right there. You know, I understand the desire for privacy at that corner, but it doesn't make for a friendly streetscape. And I don't think it necessarily responds to what else is going on the street. And I think that the building does need to be responsive of that, especially considering you're taking this nice one-story house that does fit really well within the context of North Bay Road, and you're building this much larger two-story. There does need to be some sort of dialogue with that, or at least response.
I understand. We will review the landscape architect and the owner, and perhaps receiving some distance for planting or ivy.
Something,
I should say,
yeah.
We did a similar project on 57th. It has a wall also. I think there's a limitation because you measure from the inside, so it doesn't end up being too high. I don't remember that one being particularly...
There's different things you can do for the wall. You could break it up with sort of, you know, piers or columns, or you could have a slight recess. So but right now it's just a solid wall, so it could be a combination of a solid portion and a lower portion on the lower area, and maybe even like a really tightly spaced vertical picket, so it still provides that obscurity. Mm-hmm. But breaking with materials or finishes and some slight recesses just to break up that wall.
You did a nice job with the materiality on the house, so I should have said that first before I complained about the wall, but it just, the wall particularly sticks out.
Maybe because, you know, this house, you have all these, you know, open holes and open areas, and that's part of the rhythm of the design, and then you have this very solid, which I think if other homes, if the house next door had a wall, and if that was part of the streetscape, it would, I think, function better. But in this case, in this lot, it's not working in the way that it could.
I understand that. We'll work on the design, and that should be an improvement.
I have a landscape question. On the tree disposition plan, you have tree number 7, Reclinata palm, which is a beautiful palm, probably worth about $15,000, and it's to be removed. Is that because the owners wanted to remove it, or... why wasn't it used within the property?
Well, for that, we would have to call the landscape architects. They are watching on Zoom. So if we could please do that. I know that they met with the owners on site.
What's the name of the landscape architect?
Exoticscape, Mercedes Porcari.
We have Mercedes with her hand raised.
Yes.
Mercedes?
Mercedes, are you there?
Looks like she's having problems with her mic.
We can continue and come back.
I had another question too while we're waiting, that you said in the materials board the accent wood finish. What is that going to be? Real wood, manufactured?
To be candid, we have not discussed in that level of detail with the owner, but it will be whatever the board or planning and zoning staff deem appropriate. If we can find a simulated wood that looks good, it's always better for maintenance and sustainability. Perhaps it could be wood panels like Parklex Prodema, and gives it a very custom look and different, very unique. But that's something to be determined, you know, in the specifics.
Maybe working with staff.
Yes.
To ensure, because we've unfortunately had projects where, you know, all the finishes really matter, and if something is not, you know, up to par, it really is a detriment to the entire structure.
Absolutely. So, okay.
She's still not there.
No, I don't see her back online.
Any other comments about anything while we're waiting?
Okay, well we can leave that to the to staff to verify why a $15,000 palm is removed.
Yeah. What is the name of that palm?
Reclinata.
It's number 7 in
the... Okay, actually, Mercedes is back now.
Oh.
Mercedes, are you there? And Mercedes, you're on mute.
We can let staff handle it.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Is anybody ready to make a motion?
I make a motion. I make a motion that the waiver. I make a motion that we accept the design with the waiver of the beam, and then work with staff on the design of the wall.
Second.
And the materials.
And the materials
and
of the wall.
To have, you know, definite material, that the materials they say they're going to use, they are going to use.
Yes.
I would also add that we, before the project continues to go forward, that they get letters of support, at least from the neighbor across.
We can't require that. If they're not here today, we can't require someone to provide a letter of support.
Can we at least ask them to? The owner apparently was going to try and get those, but he's traveling.
We can't make it as a condition if they're not here today.
Not as a condition, but to try and get them.
If it's not enforceable, we can't put it as a condition.
Okay. Okay, so I second.
And the what you were saying about with the tree.
Well, yeah, but that to be resolved with the staff.
Yeah.
It's important to know why it was removed.
Maybe move it, if possible.
Why wasn't it used within the project?
We'll follow up on that for sure, yes.
Relocate it, yeah.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Actually, so that was made by Scott, seconded by... Sam, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0919, 505 South Shore Drive. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story residence with an understory, including one or more waivers on a vacant lot.
So just to follow up here, this is this home includes an understory. As noted in our report, it's a very tall understory, the highest one that we've seen come before the board, with 13 feet proposed between the understory level and the first habitable level above. Now, the recently adopted resiliency code does allow a higher height allowance for understory homes, allowing an additional height for the understory level. As proposed, the level will be located at plus 19.58 feet NGVD, which is BFE plus a freeboard of almost 12 feet. So the standard maximum freeboard is 5 feet, and they're proposing a freeboard of 12 feet. The proposed height of 24 feet from the first habitable level to the rooftop is consistent with the typical RS4 height of 24 feet for a two-story home. However, for zoning purposes, the height of the home is 30 foot 7 inches tall when measured from BFE plus the maximum freeboard, which is how you measure height. Now, the new resiliency code does allow a maximum height of up to 31 feet. Now, this is across all zoning districts. Typically, the RS1 and RS2 properties, for example, on, you know, Palm, Hibiscus, Star Island, and in those instances, the height allowed is 31 feet, but in that case, it's a larger lot. Those heights are more consistent with the homes in the neighborhood. In this case, it's an RS4 zoning district, so which is why we have a concern regarding the understory height. We are recommending that the height of the understory be reduced by 2 feet, so rather than 13 feet from the understory level to the first level, down to 11 feet. With that, we are supportive of the applicant's proposal, but we just feel due to the design of the surrounding neighborhood, which is RS4, and the neighboring single-story homes, that what they're proposing is too high. Now, previously, this type of request would have been a variance. It's no longer a variance. It's just a design consideration for the board to review. So with that, we are recommending approval, but that the understory be lowered by 2 feet. With that, I'll turn it over to the applicant for their presentation.
And before we do that, just any ex-party communications? None. Thank you.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jack Vincent Zara. I am the owner of the property. This is Jose Hernandez from Florida International Engineering. I'm building this home as a family home for me and my family. I've lived in Miami since 2006 and came down here for school and just fell in love with the city, the culture, everything about it. Started a family here. We have two small children that attend school in Miami Shores, and this is our dream home, and hopefully we can get started as soon as possible. Thank you all, and I'll turn it over to Jose.
Hello, good morning, everyone. So what we're designing is what he explained. We're not doing anything out of the ordinary. We're asking for the waiver for the second story, not to be the 35 feet. I'm sorry, the 5 feet extra of the 35% of the facade. This is like how the rendering of the property house is going to look. This is just, you know, photos of the presentation of the neighbors. I don't think this is the updated one, though. The only difference is that we put the rendering inside the photo. You see where...
Was the presentation ever uploaded to the...
No, it was not uploaded. So we have the plans online, or just the plans that were submitted, which include what those application files.
Okay, so this is the first time we're seeing the design.
Yeah, well, the files are there, just not as a presentation.
Well, we do have the presentation that we did. There was a problem with the Miami Beach Building website that
we emailed it
to you guys. However, I do have it on my computer if I can connect.
It's the same thing.
We have it.
Okay.
It's been added
just
today.
It's not the updated. The updated one has our rendering inside there. So this is the neighbors. This is how it looks. This is the neighbors next to our.
Sorry, can you just back up to show us a picture of the design? Okay. This is the first time, I'm seeing this.
First time, for sure. Okay, so this is how, do I have more photos of rendering done? This is, just street photos, a Google map of where the property is located. It's facing the golf course in the back. We're going to have an infinity pool on the second, in the main floor. The first floor is just, open understory. Nothing there, it's just open. This is just, different angles of the property, how it's going to look. Again, we've met with multiple times, and then he guided us through exactly what he said that it's allowable to do. I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous. So the only thing that we're asking differently, that it's not up to code for the property, it's on the second floor, which is the last floor. The 5%, percent of the front
because
facade.
It's a two-story home. The setback required for the first floor is 20 feet, and then the second floor is required 40 feet, with 35% of that front facade to be set back an additional 5 feet. So we're requesting a design waiver for that additional 5 feet, but we are inside the 20 foot for the first floor and 40 foot for the second floor, and all setbacks in the back are code. And there's actually additional setbacks on the sides up to 8 feet, which were required at 7.5 feet. So what we're asking for is the 35% of the second floor facade that's required to be set back an additional 5 feet because we're above the lot capacity. I believe it's 50%. We're asking for that waiver. to keep integrity of the building a little bit more symmetrical, and I'd like to maximize the square footage of the home as far as closet space. We have two kids, hopefully a third one soon, and we like to keep as much square footage as we can inside the home for closet space, bathroom space, et cetera.
So this is just like the site plan, or the data, sorry.
You're doing great.
All the sheet, all the data for all the setbacks and lot coverage and all that. Again, this is something that we went like three times met with Mr. Michael, and then, you know, this is just like how the site plan looks, first floor, second floor, the roof level with all the footprints. This the main floor, the ground floor, it's just a two-car parking space, an entry to the home, and just open floor plan at the bottom for the understory. Now, this is the main level of the property. We have two bedrooms, dining room, living room, kitchen, and an infinity pool in the back, which is everything just, you know, one finished floor straight down. And this will be the one that we're getting the waiver for. This will be like the master bedroom slash office on the second story. This is, again, back to, I guess everything just got confused again. This is my roof plan with the just the elevation section. Again, all these elevations with my back and all the heights meet code. We're not doing anything, you know. It's just with difference of what's what. I'm sorry. It's just typical elevations for planning. This is how we're going to present it to the city once again, to just typical elevations, front elevation, side elevation. Again, the missing elevation, this is the rear elevation. This is just, you know, just regular typical home to be built on a vacant lot. this is how the property will look on the cross section from side to side. Again, the first floor is just open, you know, on all sides, even the front. We're meeting with everything that requires the city. Yeah, just, you know, more elevations and stuff.
You want to show them the renderings?
Yeah. Scroll down. Yeah. No, they're trying not on this view. Okay. We have more renderings. They're not showing up here, but we have renderings of the property, how it actually looked. At the street, on the lot itself. I don't know if we could use
that. I have it.
I don't know if I could bring the laptop to you guys.
No, if the renderings are not part of the presentation, they should have been part of the presentation.
They should be, yeah, but they're not here for some reason. They should be like the
that's
first.
What we have. So, I mean, there's...
Yeah.
There's
no, but we have like we have the renderings right next to the property, like how the property would look next to the properties next to it. So I don't know if we bring the laptop to you guys and you can see it.
I don't. Does that conclude your presentation, or is there more to add?
I think we're good. I mean, the only waiver, design waiver that we're requesting is the 5 foot additional, 35% of the second floor. Everything else, from my understanding, is inside the code. We've been through several rounds of comments that we've adjusted, and we'll take your recommendations as we receive them.
Actually, like I mentioned,
was also a landscaping plan submitted, which I don't see it here.
We have the landscape plan online. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, this. I know that the process can be complicated in terms of the submission, and so I can understand how, especially somebody who's doing this the first time, mm-hmm. was not aware that they had to submit a presentation package. So we're sorry about that and didn't follow up with that. So I'm sorry that it wasn't submitted in time for us to put it online.
Okay.
Now, are you guys okay with our recommendation to lower the understory by 2 feet? Because we do think that...
I think we did all that, like, after our last meeting, where we went through our last meeting.
No, based upon our recommendation on the last plans, I think the plans you submitted show your understory of 13 feet. Mm-hmm. So we're recommending that you lower that to 11 feet.
I think we did that already. Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, because that's when you also mentioned the setbacks inside to go 5 feet of
right,
the landscaping.
So just to also let the board know, there's some moving parts here in terms of the resiliency code. which does now allow a higher height. Part of that reason, too, is that the minimum height of the understory is based upon the future crown of road, as determined by Public Works. That number has recently gone up. It used to be about 5.25 feet. Now it's over 6 feet. In this case, I think they're proposing the understory level at about 6.5 feet, which is not, you know, not at the ordinary. We're not forcing them to lower it, but we do think that the height of the understory is excessive. And the typically when the board has approved in the past height waivers or variances for understory homes, it was to allow an understory to have about a 10-foot height. So I think our recommendation is consistent with the past board direction. And right now that understory height is reviewed by the DRB as a design consideration versus a variance or waiver as done in the past.
So actually that recommendation that he gave us, we did added it, and what we did for that extra 3 feet, we just made our floor
plan. So we're recommending that you have the understory at 11 mm-hmm. and then 24 feet, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So as long as that's, as long you're okay with that, the sure. order will be reflective if the board agrees with the design.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
I might have some questions. Anybody online with comments or?
There's nobody online okay. with their hand raised.
I'm going to close the public portion and open it up to the board for discussion. Who would like to begin? Scott?
So it was very hard because we didn't have the presentation, so you kind of zipped through that pretty quickly. Just from my initial thing, the sheer wall of that pool looks a little dramatic to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how we resolve that because that looks...
Actually, you're not going to see it. It's an infinity pool, so you're going to see water. And
also if I can maybe make a recommendation, you know, what our purview with as the design review board is to take the designs that you've proposed and make sure that it fits properly with the context of the neighborhood, to analyze the design, see any issues, talk about the need sure. for the waiver, whatever, that all of us, you know, before we come to the meeting, we sit with these designs and look them over and take some time. My impression of your project is that the design needs some refinement, but it's not something that I personally can come up with right now. You know, usually it's it's best for everyone if we can take our time to really thoughtfully examine what your requests are, what you're proposing, things like that. I too was struck by the pool thing in the back, this, you know, the waiver. I mean, for me, what I would like to see is to have this be continued for us to have time to really look at the plans of what you're talking about, especially because there does seem to be a discrepancy too between what, you know, the staff has seen versus what you're saying maybe. So that might be a direction that we might want to go in.
I would definitely like to see it continued and regarding the landscape plans for them to be complete. The survey doesn't show any trees. The tree disposition plan shows 2 trees, but there's 4 or 5 in the property, based on the aerial photograph.
There's not 4 or 5 in the property. There's literally 1 tree and 2.
The legends,
3.
I don't know what frutilla is. And then it doesn't have a botanical name, so I don't know what it is. It's hardly conceivable that a tree is 2 feet high.
You want to see it? I could show you a picture of it.
2 feet high?
It's okay. We're just, I think.
It's a bush. There's 1 actual tree and 2 like palm, they're like pineapple trees, very small.
Okay, well, if the surveyor shows it, then we'll take it.
Got it.
In the plan, you have coconuts 8 or 9 inches away from the pool.
Okay.
In the front, you have a palm, a Sylvester palm, 18 inches away from the wall of the house. I mean, have a complete landscape plan.
So, yeah, you need 4 yes votes to get out of here today, and I'm 2 of the members of the panel are saying that they want you to come back. So the question is, there's going to be a continuance. The question is until when?
Well, the next meeting is September.
The next meeting is September. And so in order to have plans in, so what's the deadline for them to submit plans for the September meeting?
It'll be the first part of August. There's plenty of time for them to revise the landscape plan and make sure that the architectural plans are consistent and that they have the renderings included as well.
Thank you. So any questions from the board? Any questions to the board? Any points
of refinement? I'd like to just address Scott's comment and Sarah's comment. So in regards to the pool, I understand your concern. However, directly in back of the lot is a golf course. Where it's not a public road, there are no neighbors that we're going to be showing this pool facade to. And there is a home that was approved on La Gorsa Drive, very similar design, high elevated infinity edge pool on the La Gorsa golf course. Just wanted to add that to
your comment.
I think that
when we're able to sit with your designs and really take a good look at them comprehensively, to look at it in context with the landscape, to look at it as a whole, I think that we'll be able to better make comments to you. I will say the one comment that I can make to you right now is I completely agree with staff about having, you know, the height of the understory is too high.
We did adjust that, though.
Okay.
And I'm just curious to why these plans, because we did submit these several weeks and months ago, landscape plans. Full design plans that we did adjust. I know there were some issues uploading, and I don't know if things were lost in translation.
But I apologize, but it is what it is at this point. I know that you're eager to get your home built and ready. I completely agree.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we just need to do our due diligence to have it done. And so I'm sorry that there was a blip, but
I could just add one more note in terms of the elevation of the pool. So the good thing here is that they're within the building envelope. So typically you see pool decks that may be out to the water's edge, and the code does allow you to go to BFE plus 5 for a pool deck out to the seawall. In this case, they're set back more than 20 feet from the rear property line. So that mitigates that height, but I agree that there's things they could do in terms of landscaping, other things to reduce the scale of that.
Yeah, so is there somebody going to make a motion for a continuance?
If I can just add one thing.
Please.
I agree with the planning department's recommendation on the height going down to 11. I personally would recommend it to not go any higher than the code requirement, or the code, which is 10 feet in height for the understory. Am I correct in that?
The understory now is subject to the DRB review, so they could lower it. I mean, 10 foot is something that the board has typically approved in the past.
Yes.
So.
And the only reason I'm saying it is so that the rest of the home can come down in height, because it seems to be out of proportion with the rest of the neighborhood as it stands today. I do know that home on La Gorsa Drive, that the pool is on the La Gorsa Country Club golf course. And I will tell you that when you are on that golf course and you look out towards that house, you're looking at a wall, at a cement wall. Mm-hmm. It is not the most pleasing site from a golf course, but maybe you can do some landscaping along that border to block some of that, or
give it the waterfall infinity
edge.
Give
it more of a natural.
It's something that we'll discuss more extensively when you return. So,
perfect.
Okay.
So I have a question. If I email you, because we do have everything, if I email it to you now, would that be okay for September's meeting?
I mean, I think. What I would suggest doing is let's take a look and see what the latest is. Any sort of changes will give you a deadline to update anything or make any changes you want, which gives you like another month to submit any sort of changes to address some of the concerns here for the September meeting.
So I'll email it to you and then you tell me.
We'll be in touch and we'll set up a meeting in the next couple of weeks and figure this all out.
Question. Is that pool an infinity?
Yes.
Do we have somebody to make a motion?
Yes. I move to continue this application to the September meeting.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0922-7921 Carlisle Avenue. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new three-story multifamily building to replace an existing one-story structure.
So as noted in our report, this site is located within the boundaries of the North Beach National Register Conservation District Overlay. This overlay does have a lower maximum building height compared to other RM1 zoning districts. Here the maximum height is 45 feet versus 55 feet, but also has reduced building setbacks. They're taking advantage of the reduced building setbacks. However, the new multifamily building is much lower than what the code would require. Staff is very supportive of the application. We do have some just minor concerns, which are included in our conditions of approval.
No.
This includes screening of the parking, final review of the understory ceiling electrical, mechanical and plumbing, reduction of the vehicular curb cut, and just site security for the property. We are recommending approval of the application in accordance with the draft final order, which starts on page 67 of the board packages.
And before we begin, any ex parte disclosures?
Next.
None. Okay, thank you.
Hi, hello all. My name is Yanina Morrow. I am part of the designers team, and I'm authorized to speak for the owner, Denbora Bay LLC. One of the owners is connected through Zoom, if you need to. But I will do
what is the owner's name?
Julian Mancinelli.
Yes, he's on Zoom.
Okay. Well, we are, as you mentioned, presenting a multifamily residential building. It's creating seven dwelling units. It's a three-story building. On the ground floor, we have only the access to the building and the parking spaces, all surrounded by landscape. The second story incorporates four units with one bedroom. Can you access the other one?
Give me 1 second.
The floor plan? No? So that's the ground floor. As you can see, it's only like the lobby and the stairs, and in the back it's all the parking spaces. And the idea is to have it all surrounded by a green hedge. And, well, as Michael mentioned, the recommendation is to add some fence to cover the parking space. That's not going to be any issue. And the curb cut, it's going to be adjusted as well to 10 feet. And in the second level, we have four dwelling units with one bedroom. They are having a balcony facing the street, but also we are incorporating patios to have more green space for them. And in the third level, as we only have seven dwelling units by density, we did the one in the front like bigger with three bedrooms. And again, having that green impact in the center of the unit, as well as in the terrace. In the terrace, we have like a lounge area, and having all green, we're going to see it in the render. It's all surrounded by green planters. The idea, can you move to the render? There you go. Well, the idea of the materials is to play with the textures of the concrete. And volumetrically speaking, it's like the interior of that box is with a different material that will be simulating wood, probably engineered wood, to make all the materials more durable over time and don't have like that much impact over time with like, you know. Then we have these columns that are more aesthetic than just a regular structural column. We're trying to play with the shape of the structural elements. And the other green incorporation that we're doing is like in between the units, we have these breezeways, like the corridors are breezeways. They're open and they have planters too to incorporate more green. And yeah, and the ceiling of the ground floor, like we reflect the same shape that we're doing for the columns to be in the ceiling as well, to have like this interesting design pattern. That will be it.
That conclude your presentation?
Yeah.
Any other comments? Is there anybody online?
There's nobody online with their hand raised.
Okay.
I forgot to mention, they are asking for the waiver for the ground floor height. The code basically requires 12 feet from BFE plus 1 to the underside. They're going to 10 feet. That's something that typically the board has allowed as a waiver, and that is a waiver, not a variance. We're very supportive of the design. It's very low scale. I think it's going to be a welcome addition to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know I'm going to close the public portion and open it up to the board for discussion. Who would like to begin? Anyone? Scott? Yeah.
So it took a while for this to set in. I really like your design. I think it's really cool. I think it's important. It kind of it looks like it's going to be an expensive building, even though the units are quite small. So I really I loved the layout of the units. I like the openness of the center. I like the rooftop thing. I love the columns and the understory detail that you have. So I'm not an architect, but I have to say it's interesting, and I think it definitely is makes a statement. So I like the materiality of it. I think it's cool. It's kind of like almost a modern brutalist meets Zaha Hadid thing. I don't know, but I like it a lot.
That was pretty good for a non-architect. Thank you. Anyone else? No?
Yeah, if nobody else has any comments, I'm going to make them.
I don't know if nobody else has any comments.
Okay, so last chance.
Do you have any comments to make on the
about the
property?
Design? I never have any comments to make about the design. I'm not a designer.
For landscape, I have tree number 6. You have to remain, and it's a prohibited tree. So it needs to be removed.
So, yeah, I have like very small scale plan here.
Six. Up in the corner.
So what was your question about the tree?
Pardon?
Yeah, it's going to be to remain, yes.
Needs to be removed.
Correct.
It's to be removed.
But it says to remain.
That one would be to remain.
No.
Let me check. Can I have a minute? Sorry.
Listen, it's a prohibited tree. It needs to be removed.
Ah, it is. Okay. And it's not stated that way in the landscape plan. That's what you're saying. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. I would say, too, that I have a lot of respect for how bold this design is, that I think brutalism is a little bit, it's hard to understand. It's hard to pull off. I was really struck by, in the comments from the stack, that it was very strongly supportive, which I feel like, when that doesn't happen often. So yeah, kudos to you. I do like that it's refreshing. I think that it's refreshing. The one thing, and let me ask, a few questions. So this dark green, all of the interiors are of the public areas?
It's gonna, no, in the interior of the units, it's going to be like an accent color green that probably is going to be seen from the outside.
Oh, interesting. So I agree with staff about the height waiver. It's fine, the 10 feet. And my one thought, and I don't know if this is something that you explored or that you explored together, you know, I think that so much of the effect of this, I love it when you have a really, really heavy structure and it almost is like floating on this glass. You know, it's such a great play with form and volume. And I wonder if the effect would be even stronger if instead of having, you know, the mullions be dark, if they were, you know, silver or a color that you wouldn't really see, so that it would almost disappear and it would seem like really it would be supported by just this glass, just glass, as opposed to that. That was one of my only thoughts, because there are a lot of lines.
To minimize the size of the mullions as much as possible.
I wonder if that's something that you could play with, and it's, you know, it would also possibly be reflected in the, because I know it's all the same in the windows or the sliding doors in the front. I think that this is definitely, I mean, it's bold, and then I think that this is something that at first people are going to, it's so different that it's like, okay, I got to get used to that. But then it really, it is interesting.
It's going to stand out in that block, because in front is a school and it's nothing interesting going on.
Well, and I saw that you're from Weston, and I would think that this is like nothing that you could ever design in Weston.
So you have more fun.
I'm sure you had fun with this. So, yeah, I mean, that would be my only comment, but I think, you know, the programming and how you've divided up the spaces and you know, what you have planned, I think it's interesting and it's exciting and it's nice to see. It's very refreshing.
Thank you.
And it's, like, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't know. Myra, do you have any comments?
No.
Okay. Well, does anybody want to make a motion?
I would love to make a motion. and I don't have the number. I would like to make a motion to approve DRB number 8220922. Is that correct?
That's correct.
DRB
22. DRB, sorry, DRB 22. It's a little far away. I should have looked at that one. Sorry about that.
No worries. Second.
You seconded it, Sam? Somebody did. Orlando seconded it?
I think always second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you for your time.
We're moving along pretty quickly this morning.
All right, the next item on the agenda is DRB 23-0923, 1830 Daytona Road. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story residence, including one or more waivers to replace an existing residence.
So one of the waivers that the applicant is requesting here, actually the only waiver, relates to the open space requirements for two-story elevations in excess of 60 feet in length. Once you get beyond 60 feet, the code requires that you provide open space area equal to 1% of the lot area with a depth of 8 feet. In this case, they're not providing that, and their length of their two-story side elevation is almost 80 feet.
Thank you.
We do believe that the home does have a lot of movement and visual interest. We do think it does require some additional openings or additional movement in terms of variations in the setback and additional openings along that elevation, the east side elevation. So we're recommending approval, however, with the incorporation of additional openings and additional setbacks, even 1 or 2 feet, you know, in certain portions to provide more movement along that elevation. With that, we're recommending approval of the application in accordance with the draft final order, which begins on page 83 of the board packages.
And before we begin, any ex-party communications? No.
No.
And has everyone on your team been sworn in?
Yes, except him. Okay. Get sworn in just in case.
Sure. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. Is 10 minutes...
10 minutes, make it 12 minutes, because I got something to say before the presentation that might help all of you. I'm Ralph Choef, Choef Levy Fishman, offices Miami and Tampa. Not the last house, but the house before. Would you like to see the finished product? Because I designed it.
Ralph, get the mic.
But
I'm trying to run a tight ship here. You know, we got to stay on task.
No. Okay. Yeah. Listen, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. No. So, I know that everybody here kind of knows me. I used to come in front of the board a lot. You haven't seen me in a while. And the reason you haven't seen me in a while is because I advise all my clients to stick within the code, to do it, you know, the code. And they all do. This one's a little bit my fault because I wanted a certain design for the house. I had something in mind. I'm gonna skip the presentation real quickly to go to one of the rendering. The elevation on the bottom here that you see, that's the length in question. So what we did was we brought extruded some forms, recessed some forms, and we also changed materials to give it interest. So I wanted to get off on the right foot, hopefully. You like this. And I think this is the elevation. You wanted some more openings on, Michael? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, yeah, we're happy to oblige if that's what it takes. So we're not asking for any other waivers other than this. I don't know how extensive you want me to go into my presentation because I know you're having a long day. I will do whatever you want as far as presenting this project. But one thing I do want to bring up if you look at the front elevation or the front rendering, one thing you can't tell from the renderings is that the actual bands on the top and the bottom, one goes in one direction, the other one crisscrosses in the other direction. Mm-hmm. So it gives the architecture some interest in the front there. It's not just these long bands that go straight that you'll see quite a bit. So we gave it, and we did the same thing on the rear. This may show it a little better, where the right side is extended a little bit more, the left side is in a little bit more, and the actual depth of the balcony and the roof above change. It go from smaller to larger. And so this is one of the concepts in the house. This is the rendering. This is the side of the house in rendering format that is in question. Right now that we're asking the waiver for. We have a two-story glass element for the stair, which I think is really interesting on the side elevation. The wood that is used here is the Covet product. It's a resin. We've used it before. If anybody knows the house just finished at 98 Lagore Circle that we designed, uses the product extensively. I could bring it up on my phone and show it to you. It's really a fabulous product. You'd think it's wood. They come in vertical and horizontal pieces.
Excuse me, Ralph, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the elevation that you're asking the waiver on is the east elevation, that's the west elevation. So we're fine with the west elevation.
You
caught me off guard because you showed me that elevation. It looked fine, and I went back and looked at the plan. So it's the other elevation that we're asking for some additional opening, which is on the bottom.
My bad.
Exactly.
Sorry, Michael.
Right,
it's the lower elevation here. And what technically, what I think what makes it go over the 60 feet is we have a second floor open balcony, and it's open below a little bit separated from the other structure. And so that covered balcony, that's the master balcony on the second floor, is what technically gets us over the 60 feet. It's an open balcony, and it has vertical elements in it as well. And if you wanted to see it in rendering format, there it is, right there. So I could see where you would want some fenestration added to the elevation, which we have no problem with. That's it's a mixture of the Covet product, stucco, and either, probably it's going to be Venogrigio slabs on that side. All the frames on the house are champagne colored, and we're keeping a very low tone in color. As far as colors are concerned, we just want to keep it very zen, very low key, which is a direction we've kind of been taking lately. I take pride in our side elevations. We don't, you know, we really articulate our side elevations quite a bit, even if we're asking for this variance. So if anybody wants me to go through the residence, I'd be happy to. I don't know that you need to do that. It's the only waiver we're asking for. So it's a matter of aesthetics.
Michael, if you can just, for my understanding, what exactly or where is the variance that's being requested on the west side?
Can you go back to the elevation or rendering that shows?
Yes.
It's the opposite side of this.
I think it's page 15.
Yes, this is a waiver.
This is the waiver.
Bottom side, yeah, so technically this is a waiver, right? So if you look at the bottom image, the distance from the second floor on the right side, which is towards the front of the property of the garage, to the back of the property, which is to the extent of the deck, is almost 80 feet. Now, the portion, if you didn't have all those grills in that area, that reduced the real portion, the two-story portion, to about 62 feet. So even taking out the open balcony there with the vertical supports, he's still slightly over the 60 at 62 feet. So the code requires that either
he's over by 2 feet.
Over by 2 feet. Yeah. So in consideration of the code requirements, he could break up by putting a courtyard in the middle of that space or ending the building at 60 feet. But that'd have to be a courtyard that's 8 feet in deep, 8 feet in depth at least, and 1% of the lot area. Or he can request a waiver from the DRB. It's a lot to go through. So to ask for this waiver, you're talking about a delay of typically 4 months versus, you know, providing the code requirements. So typically most people don't ask for this waiver unless they're also asking for an understory or something else. So in this design, you know, as Ralph has indicated, he does a really good job of designing all facades of the elevation, you know, with the same level of interest that you would find on the front elevation. We just feel that in this case, you need some additional openings to sort of soften the solid appearance of the second floor. So that's something that the DRB can grant as a waiver versus a variance. And we're supportive of that with some additional fenestration on the second floor.
Okay. Does that conclude your presentation?
It does.
Aside from questions that we might have.
It doesn't. If you want me to present more, I will, but I don't think
okay.
You do.
I mean, I'm okay. Yeah, I feel like that was good.
And there's nobody online with their hand raised?
Okay, I'm going to close the public portion, open it up for discussion or questions from the board. Anybody? Thoughts? I can say very quickly that I like the design. I love the rear elevation, and I'm really glad. It was hard to see in the rendering, but I after looking at it a while, I did see that you do have it in the front. So I think this is going to be a really nice home.
Appreciate
in this
it.
Area. And I do agree with Michael to have some sort of something on that elevation. Only, you know, I noticed that the house next door is a one story, so everyone is going to see this very long expanse of solid wall for a while. I know the house on the other side is a two story and you wouldn't really see it, but that would just be,
you know, I am certainly not comparing myself to Le Corbusier. But if you look at the elevation, it has some Villa Savoie characteristics to it. So what I think the additional fenestration should be horizontal, lineal horizontal, where the Vena Grigio is, to add to that. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be at the top necessarily. It could be at a different level. So that has to be studied. But yeah, that's the way the direction I would take on this.
Any other comments by anybody else?
No, I
really liked it.
I think the design on the side of that balcony, which causes you to go over, is a very nice design. To be ashamed to remove that. So if you can, I think the recommendation from planning is a good one, if you could soften up the rest of the wall.
Right.
And I think having those slats also provides privacy to the neighbor on the other side.
It is an interesting, it's nice. It provides a good balance.
I really think you did a very nice job, particularly like the rear. It's wonderful. I would only do one thing. I would green the west side of the pole.
I would
green.
Oh, put, green?
The west side add green? A little bit of landscape to that white side.
Well, let's go to the plan so I know exactly what you're talking about. So there you have the pool.
That's all.
Oh, you're talking where the steps are.
No, the side of the pool, the west side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's that brings up a very good point. And that's two houses ago. The owner that I did that house for did not do that waterfall like it was supposed to look. If anybody's ever been to the Aria in Las Vegas, they had this big waterfall wall that protrudes in and out, so it gives the water some texture and scale, and it uses some very interesting materials. If that is what it was supposed to be, that's not what it turned out to be. The owner did not do it. So I told these two gentlemen as they were leaving, I go, I should be angry, but I'm very flattered that you copied the design, and I'm going to give you some advice of how to do the back. And so I gave them that advice, so it would be an interesting feature.
Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, with the design, or what about regarding
for the design?
With waivers.
Second.
Yeah.
Well, no, I thought we weren't approving the waiver because he was gonna.
No, we're approving the waiver with a modification to the design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Second.
Seconded by Mr. Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any Thank votes? You.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I have to jump off just before noon for a call. I don't know if we're going to be able to run through this in 14 minutes, but I know you need my vote.
We can. I think we can be quick on this one because it's really just a variance for a carport, lot coverage, and for pool equipment next to a bridge.
Okay, and then is the lunch here yet? Could we take an early lunch break, or we're not?
Well, I think maybe what we should do is plow through, then we can take our lunches home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Good call.
Move on. So, Giselle will read the next application for the record.
The next item in the agenda is DRB 23-0925, 1600 Cleveland Road. An application has been filed requesting design review approval, including variances from the maximum lot coverage, from the minimum required setback for pool equipment, and from the minimum required setbacks for the construction of a non-standard carport on a site containing an existing home.
So this application did come before you, this property, last September for an existing single-story home, and they got a one-story rooftop addition approved. They're back before you now for variances for lot coverage. I remember at the time there was some discrepancy in terms of the lot size that was not exactly known. So now they're asking for a variance for lot coverage in order to provide a carport, covered area for the car, as well as a variance for the setback requirements. The code does allow a standard, one of those typical ugly canvas and pipe carports with an 18-inch setback. In this case, they're doing a more customized carport. It's actually nicer, but the code doesn't have an allowance for anything that's non-standard within the setback. So we're asking for that setback from the street side to place the carport with a setback of 18 inches. They're also asking for a variance for lot coverage to allow the covered carport. We're supportive of that due to the constraints of the existing property, which was built without a garage or a carport. And lastly, they're asking for a variance for the pool equipment. This is located next to a bridge that's elevated on a corner property, with landscaping, heavy landscaping between the pool equipment and the bridge. So this 4-inch variance is not going to affect any neighbors except for the bridge. It's not going to be visible from anywhere. So for that reason, we are supportive of that variance. And then if you just heard that Sam has to leave at noon, so yeah, we can speed up the presentation.
I was about to say I'll go as fast as I possibly can to get you out of here. So Nick,
just before we start, any ex-party communications? No. Thank you.
And I think we're all sworn in. So Nicholas Rodriguez, Burkow, Riddell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tapanez, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, here representing Frederick Kumanaw and Leslie Diamond, the owners of the property. As Michael just stated, this is really an update to a previously approved application. There were some, perhaps oversights in the way lot coverage was calculated the first time around. But also from a big picture perspective, some of the benefits of going back and kind of reworking the design is that the new home is going to be elevated from a 6.5 feet NGVD to a 9.5 feet NGVD, and it's going to comply with the Urban Heat Island Ordinance in providing permeable pavers in the driveway and high albedo surfaces for the rooftops. By getting into the property, it's a corner lot on Cleveland Drive and Hennepin Ave next to the bridge. Because it's a corner lot, they dedicated the 25-foot radius, and they lost a little under 200 square feet of area, where the typical lot size in the area is 9,000 square feet. And as you can see on the image on the lower right, the home actually faces Hennepin Avenue, even though the address is on Cleveland Drive. So it's a side-facing home, and there's an existing carport that's right up against the sidewalk and the property line. So we're really just moving that existing carport to a new location. Since this is an addition to an existing site, this is the existing site plan. You can see the carport that's right up against the property line. You can also see this kind of surplus land next to the bridge that is great when the city needs to maintain the bridge. Other times it's just excess area that the owner has to maintain, and it's heavily vegetated. So that's the area where the pool equipment would be going. And primarily the footprint of the existing home is not changing very much, other than what was previously approved at the last meeting. So this is the prior approval, and I just want to highlight here that the carport, this is the rendering from the prior meeting. The carport was in the renderings. It just was not properly included in the lot coverage calculation. So it was really just a mistake from that meeting, and it was always intended to be a part of the application. Moving on, so the requests here today are for a variance for the pool equipment right at the southeast corner of the property. It's 4 inches from the property line, but really the width of that surplus area is about 10 feet. So it's about 10 feet from the bridge itself. And then the two variances for the carport, when you actually factor in the carport into lot coverage, the actual lot coverage is 34% instead of 31%. So where they previously got a lot coverage variance for 31%, it was just the wrong number. They got it approved, just the wrong number. And then the variance from the required street side setback, as Michael mentioned, a normal carport, a standard carport, as they call it, can be set back 18 inches. But since this is more of a structure, it's treated as part of the main home. So the required setback is 15 feet. Quickly highlighting that in this area, there you can find other variances and other instances where the city has found practical difficulties justifying variances to provide covered parking. It seems that these original homes were not built with a lot of covered parking. And as Michael mentioned earlier, it's very rare that you get an actual structure in the required front 20-foot setback. But here they've been approved in this area, recognizing that there is a hardship in providing covered parking in these smaller type lots. Just compares the standard carport, which is a pipe and canvas material, to what's proposed, which is a structural design that's meant to complement and be integrated into the design, as Julian will get into. And then the variance for the pool equipment, to give you a quick visual of what it looks like. The pool equipment is 6 feet lower than the edge of the bridge. It's behind a dense vegetation. You won't be able to see it. Actually, you might be able to see the pool equipment from where it's located now towards the center of the yard, whereas where it's proposed, you won't ever be able to see it. And quickly, we did reach out to our immediate neighbors. They're in support. We also reached out to other people in the neighborhood. No one has been objecting to this. I think people recognize it's difficult to provide covered parking. They're tight lots. Other people have had similar additions, so everyone that we've spoken to has been in support. So I'll turn it over to Julian to kind of walk you through the renderings and the design as quickly as possible.
Good
Good morning. I'm going to try to be very fast too. So I'm Julien Lejard from Lejard Studio. So I'm a lead designer for this project. So this project has been carefully designed to not only enhance the surrounding environment, but to also harmoniously blend with it, creating a truly captivating sight for all to behold since it's a corner lot. We have used a mix of complementary materials on this facade, from traditional stucco work, natural stone, eco-friendly IPA, and wood cladding for a minimal metal framing for the architectural composition. This house is meant to be a retreat. It's meant to be a Zen destination, so every single material that we're using are kind of in line with the spirit of it. What set this project apart is our commitment to integration. We understand, the corner lot situation, so we have seamlessly incorporated a carport into the design, not as a separate entity, but as an organic extension of the house itself. And by doing so, we have created a symbiotic relationship between the architecture and the practicality of sheltering vehicles, resulting in a harmonious and, we believe, visually striking composition. This choice reflects our commitment to attention to detail and creating a seamless transition from the street to the magnificent composition that awaits within. Through the artful composition of material, the preservation of the original structure, and the seamless integration of a carport, we believe that we have enhanced the overall beauty of the project. I sincerely think that this construction project will not only enrich the neighborhood, but also serve as a testament to the innovative and harmonious blending of human craftsmanship with the natural environment. So I kindly request, if possible, the approval of the variances, allowing this project to come to fruition.
Thank you. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yeah, in light of the time, we'll conclude. I'll just run through the renderings here as we begin discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There is nobody online with their hand raised.
Okay. Close the portion, open it up to the board for discussion. Does anybody have any?
Question?
Yeah.
Staff, this application doesn't require landscape.
No, plans. Because it's basically just the carport variance for over the driveway and then the pool setback, pool equipment variance.
I would say, if I can comment, it's the carport is different than the one you showed us with the last rendering. It seemed like the carport was more integrated into the design of the house, and this is separate, just to make sure that we're seeing the correct thing.
Can we go back into the slides, and then we can compare the two? So I think
I remember when we saw the design, that was so nice that you were able to, but it could just, it struck me that it was really nice that you were able to incorporate that into the lines, and there was only two horizontals on the facade, and I feel like the carport design as it is now is competing a little bit with it. I think maybe I'd recommend to maybe work with staff to maybe explore the idea of having the carport be either the lighter color of other parts of the house or maybe just a little bit thinner, just to see the proportions. Because right now the original was such a clean design and it doesn't have that same effect. I don't not want to approve the design, but it's just, I feel like it could use a little bit of refinement at least to explore something.
I think we'd be happy to work with staff. If I just one note on this is I think the rendering maybe doesn't take into account the required minimum heights and maximum heights, so we have to make sure that we fit within the confines of the code. There is an eyebrow, and then the carport fits underneath it, but we'd be happy to work with staff to kind of integrate that a little bit more cleanly.
Sure. Does anybody have any other comments or want to make a motion?
I concur with staff's analysis that the presence of the existing home constitutes the sideward orientation of the house constitute practical difficulties warranting the grant of the requested variances. And if nobody else has any comments, I would vote to approve the variances.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Comas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I guess that was, but don't we need to approve the design as well?
Okay. Since the variance was so integral, there's no need to add a separate motion for the variance. Okay. if the variance was challenged, they couldn't, you know, build the carport or the pool equipment anyway. So
I would just like to make sure that the design
we're
going
to add that condition. Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Yes, that was intended. Okay.
We got through fast. That's
okay.
Promised.
Okay. Thank you. Congratulations. So Sam is essentially leaving. Are we okay continuing just with four people?
Yes, because the
just a waiver.
Last application is just the design waiver. So
okay. Okay, good. So we should continue as opposed to taking a break, a lunch break.
Yeah, I think we should continue because we just have one more application and then
okay.
I think lunch is sounds not even good. Here can yet. So
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on the agenda is ZRB 23-0927, 290 South Coconut Lane. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a two-story residence with an understory, including one or more waivers to replace an existing residence.
Thank you, Giselle. Just to be clear, so this application is actually, there are no waivers. It's just before you for the understory. Since this application was first submitted, due to height requirements, which I mentioned this morning for Future Crown Road, the understory level has increased, and accordingly, the entire house has increased in terms of height. So the applicant is requesting a higher height than what was initially included as part of the initial submission documents, and Ralph will go over that increase today. It's still consistent with the height that the board has approved for understory of around 10 feet or so. So with that, we are supportive of elevating the entire home, including the understory. We are supportive of the application. But I'll turn it over to Mr. Choef for his presentation.
Thank you, Michael. Ralph Choef,
just
Choef,
one,
Fish.
One quick
sorry.
Disclosures, ex parte communications.
No.
Okay.
Ralph Choef, Choef, Levy Fishman, offices in Miami and Tampa. So this is an understory house, and the reason we're in front of you really is because of the understory. I don't think we're asking for anything more than we're allowed to have. Michael, am I right or wrong on that?
That's correct.
Okay. Although there is a question of about a foot that we needed because the understory would be lower than the seawall by a foot, and we just wanted it to be at the same height as the seawall. That's basically it. The design is... It sets back, the second floor sets back quite a distance from the first floor. The first floor being the second floor to the residence. So it appears from the street as a one-story residence with an understory, and from the back it appears as a two-story residence with an understory. We've tried to soften the architecture with the planting of, planting in the planters. The garage is basically hidden with this COVID product that we're discussing, that it doesn't look like a garage. You come up, and this is the rear of the residence itself. We're using different materials. And then we have a water feature that you see right in the middle of the swimming pool that we're trying to do is blend in the architecture of the understory by creating lounge areas and then this water feature right in the middle that goes into shallow water, which then connects to the pool area itself to give it interest. It's a very long, narrow, very narrow site. I'll give you the history of the site. I'm sorry I failed to say this, but this was an approved project, not this design, but there was another design approved on this property many years ago. They ran into financial difficulty. It stayed there, and basically the foundation was poured, some columns were poured, and that's it. The owner wanted to use the existing foundation and columns, so we did that, and we designed around it. So the new design is designed around what the old design was. We have some very interesting side elevations and to this project as well. That's one side. That's the other side. Like I said, is a mixture of volumes, and we just want that. Michael, is that additional foot that I'm asking for? Is that a waiver or
No. Now, since because the new resiliency code is in effect, the DRB can grant up to a total height of 31 feet.
Okay.
And so as this is unlike the application we saw earlier this morning up in North Beach, which was surrounded by single-story homes. This is actually in a location which has very large two-story homes with understory on both abutting sides and across the street. So typically, like I mentioned this morning, we would have recommended for that home up north to have an understory level of 11 feet. Here, Ralph is at 12, but due to the immediate surrounding neighbors, which are already high, this would not be, you know, out of context with that. So we are supportive of this height.
Thank you.
And that height's being requested because the current elevation of the understory is below the seawall.
Well, you're elevating. What is the elevation of your understory?
So the elevation of the understory is 7.25 NGVD, which is the same as the seawall. We're raising it to that
height. Got it, yeah.
This is an area of Miami Beach that floods horribly. I mean, if there was an area that understories have to be built, they must be built. It's this area right here.
Yeah, so the code does require that the seawall, a new seawall be built for a new house to that level. So if they were to build the understory level at what was allowed, say, a year ago, that would be 2 feet lower than the seawall. So you would have a barrier of 2 feet tall at the understory level.
Is the grade going to the same level as the seawall then?
Yeah, it's, yes.
Or will the grade be below the seawall still?
Yeah, and the pool is at the grade level.
Okay.
We did not raise the pool.
Yeah, that looks...
And this is also like, you know, we've seen other instances where people then provide an elevated pool deck and pool. This is the opposite. The whole thing will be at the lower level, so you're not going to have that impact of a large pool deck. So we're supportive of this application.
We don't have landscape plans?
Yes. Chris?
Where?
Do we have landscape plans for this?
No.
Good morning, everyone. Chris Colley. Hi, Orlando. We asked ourselves that same question. I think there were plans that were originally submitted for this project. I mean, I know what's on them, but they're not in your application.
Yeah, Orlando, I did take a look and see that when this was submitted initially, our landscape architect, Enrique, did approve the plan. So there must have been a landscape plan.
Sure.
But it was never uploaded or made part of the final presentation, and I can't find it now.
But I have it in front of me. Okay. So I know, you know, I know it doesn't help you at all.
I can't go over them now.
No, of course. So we did do plans that were approved for the project. I'm not sure why they're not part of your package. It's a very clean, simple tropical landscape design, meets all of the code requirements.
Yeah, we're not changing the landscaping on this at all, except for the additional planter that we're just going to have hanging plants on them.
Okay, but we still need to see it.
Was there, this is not a revision to an existing permit, is it? Or is it a?
It's a new permit. Technically, it's a new permit. We're just using the existing foundation, existing footprint of the house and the pool and everything else.
Was there a prior landscaping plan that was approved?
Yes.
Okay. So there was a building permit plan with a landscape, and that landscape permit was approved?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then they had to stop construction because there was a...
I think that's why Enrique had approved the landscape plan, because he reviewed it as part of the building permit. So you're keeping that landscape plan?
Yeah, we're keeping it intact. We're using everything. The only difference is, again, the planters that we added on the
first
floor.
So I think, if Orlando's uncomfortable with that, the board could approve the application and continue the landscape plan till September if you'd like. So, I mean, if...
Oh, it's beautiful.
I'm sure. I mean, if that's what the board wishes, we could, you know, put this item at the very beginning of the September agenda just to review the landscape plan. Because you need four votes for approval.
Well, it's in the presentation, is it?
It's not in the presentation.
No.
Oh, this presentation. Okay.
Is it a problem if we... postpone it to September so we can take a look at the landscape plan.
If you could approve the design with the exception of the landscape plan and then...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
And then Chris can come back. I don't have to.
Would that be that? Would it just be a continuation? That...
Well, no. So the board will approve the, if the board makes a motion to approve it, they will approve the application with the condition that the final landscape plans to be, are reviewed by the board in the future. So we'll take a separate motion to continue that portion of the application to the September agenda.
But we don't. It doesn't have to get re-noticed or anything
No.
It would just get added to this presentation. I would just
come
with boards.
Exactly.
Is that okay?
The board is going to continue.
They're approving the design. They're not approving anything landscape. So
right.
It has to be approved.
No, I got that. Okay. Sounds wonderful. Thanks, everyone.
Well, wait. We need a motion first. Yeah. Or more comments.
I'm closing the public portion. Comments from the board. Any motion? Anyone want to make a motion?
Approve subject to landscape being reviewed.
I second.
Second by Myra. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
With that, I want to have another motion to formally continue the landscape portion to the September meeting.
I make a motion that we continue the landscape portion to the September meeting.
Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Comas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate
4-0.
It.
4-0. Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
We've gone through our agenda, and I'd like to close the July 5th DRB meeting. We'll see you in September. What's the date?
Is it September 5th?
September 5th.
Tuesday, September 5th.
Correct.
Thank you so much.